It's time for TWiT this week in tech. And folks, this may be the best TWiT we've ever done. I am so excited. Georgia Dow is here from iMore. Owen J.J. Stone, oh, Doctor. Harry McCracken, the technologizer. And Jason Calacanis stops by in his Tesla and we patch things up. It's all next on TWiT.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 508, recorded Sunday, May 3rd, 2015. Calacanis returns. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Carbonite. For the hands-on business owner, Carbonite makes data backup hands-free. Carbonite's automatic cloud backup provides you with round-the-clock protection at work and at home. Visit Carbonite.com and use the offer code TWIT for two free bonus months. And by Stamps.com. Start using your time more effectively with Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. To get my special offer, go to Stamps.com now. Click on the microphone and enter TWIT. That's Stamps.com. Offer code TWIT. And by Citrix GoToMeeting, the powerfully simple way to meet with coworkers and clients from the convenience of your computer, smartphone, or tablet. Share the same screen and see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing. For a 30-day free trial, visit GoToMeeting.com today. And by Squarespace. Squarespace is the easiest way to create a beautiful website, blog, or online store for you and your ideas. Go to squarespace.com and enter the offer code TWIT at checkout to get 10% off. It's time for TWIT This Week in Tech, the show where we cover the latest tech news. We have such a good panel, I don't even know where to start. So I'm just going to go, I guess, right to left or something like that. I don't know. Starting with Owen J.J. Stone, oh, Doctor, on the horn from his mystery lair in New Jersey.
My mystery lair has been downgraded to subpar cave because we have another guest with a super-duper mystery lair. So I'm just like in a hole in a back room somewhere, wrapped up in a broom closet or something.
Oh, no. Move that microphone right in on there so we can hear you better. You're using that snowball there? Is that what that is?
I am. I have a better mic, but I don't know where it is. It's in a box somewhere.
You sound good. As long as it's close to you, you sound good. It's good to see you.
I get it close to me.
Oh, Doctor. Also with us, Harry McCracken, the technologizer. Everybody on the show is going to have a nickname.
I brought my own.
You brought your own. The technologizer. It's good to see you once again, Harry, from fastcompany.com.
Good to be here.
One of the great tech journalists for many, many years. Here's a guy you would not expect to see on this show, but I brought him back, Mr. Jason Calacanis.
It's good to be home.
Buddy, I missed you. Good to be home. We had a little falling out. I was a small, petty individual.
Me too.
And I apologize. But I'm thrilled to have you back.
It's good to be home. It's good to be home.
And we've got a newbie. This is great. We're really throwing into the lions. Georgia Dow from iMore.com. It's great to see you, Georgia. You've been on other shows, but this is your first time on TWiT, right?
I know. I'm so excited.
Oh, we're so glad to have you.
Thank you.
Georgia's, you're in Montreal.
I'm in Montreal.
And
I'm in my white cave.
And you see her regularly on iMore and on the iMore podcasts. And there is so much to talk about. I don't even know where to begin. Microsoft had Build this week, and there was a lot of news from Microsoft. Elon Musk announced Tesla's new product, and it's not a car. We're all wearing Apple Watches, except for Owen, are you wearing your Apple Watch?
No, I sold the first one. I got the new one coming in next week.
You got one and you sold it already?
I messed up because I bought two and I didn't know if I wanted the sport or the stainless steel, and I don't want the stainless steel, so I sold it.
So you're getting the sport?
So I can get my maximum dollar out of it, which was people that wanted to overpay for it.
You made a profit?
Oh yeah, I doubled my money, so I got my sport for free.
Oh, that's smart,
dude. That's smart.
And all you had to do was get up at midnight.
I was up and ordering away, and I ordered two because I didn't know what I wanted. So I was like, oh, get it. And then I got it. I opened it. I said, no, bye-bye. And somebody paid double the price. And
wow.
I was like, yeah, free watch. So I got to wait till next week. My other watch comes next week.
They're kicking themselves now because Apple has advanced the – I wasn't supposed to get this till
you know, later this month, and I got it last week. This is the 42 millimeter. So Apple is actually kind of loosened the dials a little bit. Georgia, you have a Sport, but you're getting
the Sport, and I have it on the white band, but I'm getting the Milanese band as well for it.
Love that. So so all of these are interchangeable, right? You can use any band with any watch.
Yeah, you can use any band. Well, of course, I can't. I was hoping to steal from all of Renee's, but he got the 42, and I'm on the 38 because I have minute wrists. So yes, you can interchange as you need and really easily.
I was using the 38 because I got Lisa's first, and now I'm using the 42. You have a 42 Sport?
42 Sport. I got like because they let us get one at Inside because of the developer kit, so they just sent us one early. But I think this is.
So your Inside app is on the watch already?
No, just the SMS, but they featured us, so we have a good relationship with them. And I think when they when you're a top developer, they'll give it to you like first shot at bat.
Oh, that's
so I
nice.
Also have another one coming, like Odoctor. But I have to say, I think this is going to be a great success for them. I could see this, you know, easily being 25 to 50 million a year this year if they can produce that many, because the act of getting your SMS messages here and your alerts here is so delightful, I think, that once people see the early adopters with it, they're going to want it. And at Christmas, you know, it's really like people went back and downgraded their iPhone 6s to 5s. Like Ev Williams was like, I don't like the 6. I'm going to go back to the 5.
Really?
Yeah. And I think a lot of people don't feel the necessity to keep updating their phone. So they have a little bit of extra budget.
So they buy the watch.
So they buy the watch because it really does enhance the experience when you're waiting for an Uber or you're getting like news and you can just look at your wrist. And in meetings, and I was at the movies yesterday and I had alerts coming in from the babysitter.
Oh, I bet everybody behind you loved that as your watch lit up every 5 minutes.
It's better than lighting up basically.
And did you jump up every hour and do some exercise?
No, I didn't do that during Avengers. But that is the annoying, that is the most annoying part of it when it's like,
you could turn that
you
off.
Could get up now. You could get up now.
The first thing that I turned off was the annoying reminder to stand up, and then the trash talking from my watch saying that I have not made my activity goals this week. I'm like, you know what? Done. I don't need that. That's what you have parents for. Sorry.
Yeah.
Off.
I was at a conference and I got the nag note to stand up when I was sitting down and had to.
She literally just stood up in the middle of a conference.
I've been doing that.
Everybody's like, wow, Harry's losing it.
At least I wasn't on stage.
In shows, I've been jumping up.
Just randomly standing up.
Yeah.
But I think it's actually better for movies than now.
I got the little star. Watches. Did you get the gold star?
I haven't gotten my gold star yet.
You don't have a gold
Tim
star?
Tim Cook gave you a gold star?
I got a gold star on here.
I got some really pitiful achievement.
Yeah.
Well, that's because Uncle Leo stands up anywhere he's at. He's a boss. He doesn't care.
Oh,
he stands up in the movies. He stands up at the baseball game. It doesn't matter. He just stands
look
up.
Look at that. I'm already all the way around. See? Look at that.
Nice. See, I'm so sad that when I got my stand-up reminder when I was having dinner, I actually like just did this with my arm and kind of waved it around for a while.
Did it fool it?
Fake. Yeah. Then I got my stand. It's like, you've done your stand-up. And I'm like, ha, gamed the system.
So can I tell you... I hate this thing. I don't think this is a product at all, Jason. I think you're completely wrong.
Wow. Here we go. Welcome back to the show.
I feel like I suddenly got it because I've worn these all now.
Mm-hmm.
And Android Wear and Pebble, and you're wearing the Basis. You're actually wearing two watches. You're crazy.
Yeah.
And I finally realized, as much as I want this category to take off, they're too damn small to be useful. And the UI is too difficult on something this small. It's the same problem I had with Google Glass. It's too fussy. It's too finicky. It's too hard to get it to work. And it's and especially when everything I do on this, I can do on my phone, which is right here. So I was hopeful that Apple, just as they have in the past with the iPod, the iPad, the iPhone, would take an existing category and figure out the secret sauce that would make it sing. Now that I've had this for 10 days, nah. They didn't. And I just feel like this. I disagree entirely.
Really?
I think this is not going to sell. I think it's going to sell worse and worse.
No.
I'm right in the middle. First of all, as average consumers, people wanted a big phone. The sale of the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus show that. People are holding on their iPhone 4s waiting for an i6 and i6 Plus.
So why do they want this little stamp-sized doohickey?
That's my point. That's something that will be a novelty, but I don't think that's a necessity. This watch is not a necessity. It doesn't change my world or my lifestyle that I need to have it. And secondly, most people that have regular funds look at it and say, well, all Apple's going to do is come out with a better one next year. Why, if I get one, I have to get the cheapest one? Because there's no way in the world I'm going to spend more money than I have to, knowing the next year it's going to be thinner and lighter and faster, and you're going to want to get rid of it. So
thinner and lighter is not going to solve it. It's too small. It's a postage stamp on your wrist, and it makes it, no matter what, no matter who's making it, it makes it difficult to really be useful.
Okay.
It's hard to take it would depend on how you use it, right? I'm with Jason on this. I think that I use it just, like, I don't use it for many things. I use it for use case scenarios where I want to do something quick, fast, and seamless without any bugging anyone. So I use it for turning on my lights, changing my hues, turning off my lights, opening my door, Shazamming music, and answering calls, and just checking notifications so that I know if I have to get out my phone or not. And that makes my life easier. I think that it makes things faster, and I enjoy using it for those cases. I don't really interface with it very much besides that.
The apps are going to need to catch up for sure.
Totally.
That's the issue. Is right now, the having to hunt and peck to get what you want is a real bummer. Absolutely can see that. But when you get a nice, delightful alert like, hey, here's the SMS, here is your Uber's arriving, your food's arriving, when those just gentle notifications come and you don't have to take it out, I think people are going to become addicted
How
to it.
How lazy have we become?
Very
all
lazy.
All you got to do is
you
take
really
it
asking
out
that question?
What's so, I don't like, understand why it's so hard to look at your phone.
Have you not seen WALL-E where everyone's like sitting in those motorized?
Yeah, that's how lazy.
Idiocracy.
I was getting map messages of how to drive, which was fabulous because it was on my wrist. It was easy to see, and it was telling me which way to turn.
Really I actually I can agree with anywhere. You on that. I discovered that last fall when we were in London with the Android Wear, and I said, you know, take us to the Tower of London, and it just like the Apple Watch, it buzzes. You turn left, turn right. I think but you have to be walking, and you have to be like trying to find something you can't find. There's WALL-E. Thanks.
Yeah, so when
now
you
the
need
Walt
to
Disney
get a big gulp,
going to want to take
you
this
press for
too.
Big gulp.
I like smartwatches when I'm up and about and walking around, because when I'm walking around, I don't want to be using my phone, and the smartwatch works really well. I also think that basically almost all of the Apple Watch apps that exist were written by people who had never seen an Apple Watch when they wrote the app.
That's absolutely true.
Therefore, it's going to take at least 60 to 90 days before it's really clear what's going on. And I think the killer apps, for the most part, will not be written by Apple. To a larger extent than usual, it's going to be the third parties that either make this thing compelling or fail to make this thing compelling.
And I grant you that we've talked about this on MacBreak Weekly, the ecosystem could change things. Apple Pay is interesting, for instance. Although, again, with Apple Pay, I don't find it so much of a convenience because I still have to debit or credit. Do you want cash back? I actually had to sign over at the grocery store. I had to sign.
I'd like to do that.
Well, I think it's card specific. It might be merchant specific.
Amex, it's like...
Yeah, it should be you just do that.
Yeah.
But even then, that's still not such a huge savings in time. I feel like it is possible, and I'm going to be open-minded, I'm going to continue to use it, that the ecosystem and the apps could make a difference. I also think that there may be a structural issue, which is it's very hard to create a user interface on something this tiny that's functional, that's good, that's not fussy. This thing has a button, a crown, two buttons, a crown, force touch, and you still have to, fumble around quite a bit to do something.
And voice, have you been using
and
Siri?
I've been using Siri when it works.
I was hoping they would have a much bigger screen. I thought it was going to be more like a bangle or just a little bit taller or bigger. It could be a little bit bigger.
Who's that guy that has the big watch clock around it?
Flavor Flav.
Flavor Flav. I want the Flavor Flav iWatch.
Hi, I'm Flavor Flav for Apple.
The other point is, you named a whole ton of watches. You named a Pebble, all these other things. And Jason's big thing is the notifications that easily come and tell you. A lot of watches
they
have
all do
notifications, and they aren't mass market adapted yet. People aren't just saying, oh, wow, you're getting SMSs on your watch? I need one of those.
Right.
Regular people aren't doing that. And the bubble we live in,
that's what I
think.
Oh,
this is the best watch in the world.
That's what I think.
Regular people don't look at a Wear or an app phone. They're like, oh, so I could get an Uber alert? What's Uber? I live in like a regular town. I don't know what Uber is. So, I mean,
that's why I don't think you're going to have the sales figures that you were quoting, Jason.
So here's the thing.
Because normal people, yes, our group will, but normal people are not. I agree with you 100% on this.
You're going to see a social product arrive for this, like an Instagram or a Snapchat, that'll be made for this. And we just haven't seen it yet. You're going to see a game like Clash of Clans or Solitaire was for Windows.
Remember that.
We just haven't seen it yet.
Apple does not actually allow animation on this. The only way you can have anything at all like animation is with the slideshow. But, I mean, there are some severe limitations to doing anything compelling on this right now.
But it's pretty clear that the apps you can write now, which are really more like front ends for an app being on your phone, are a stopgap. And at some point, there will be full-blown apps on this, and at that point, they'll get much more powerful.
I'll be doing my little crown.
You'll also have an Apple Watch, which does not require your phone to be there, because it'll have a connection of its own.
That is going to be killer.
Those things in the future might mean something. Yeah. Oh, apps that magically make people excited? Sure. And Wi-Fi on my phone? Okay, those things sound better. But the world we're living in right now, we have to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, and it's true that on any platform, a killer app is what is going to make the difference.
Right.
My position is I'm wondering what that killer app could possibly
be. People have the same position with the iPhone, right? People were like, well, what's this big screen for? And then once, navigation showed up.
I have to say, when you first used multi-touch, a light bulb did go on, didn't it?
Yeah.
Even on the first iPhone, which was very limited, had no app store, multi-touch was kind of a revelation. It's like, oh, I don't need a keyboard anymore. Mm-hmm. I can do this and I can use multiple. I don't know what the multi-touch is for this. And I have to say, what's very obvious is how much thought this was put into this. You can see with the activity thing that Jay Blahnik, the Nike guy, was spending a lot of time. We'll do circles. It'll do this. You'll get a little star. There clearly is years of thought that went into this. And that's why I may be a little discouraged that if even with all of the brains that Apple threw at this for years, they weren't able to come up with that compelling app, then I'm wondering if that compelling app even exists.
Someone in the chat room said, the iPhone solved the problem. This watch doesn't solve a problem.
Exactly. It's a luxury. So that's why I'm worried. I think you're right. I think it will sell well among certain groups like us. We all five have... That's kind of amazing.
Yeah. I mean, the activity tracking alone, I think, is a major win. I've been using the Spaces one, and it really has changed my behavior. I try to every day hit my steps. I try to hit my run club. You know,
the Fitbit did that.
Yeah, and I think that those change behavior. Now, if a company like Apple can make it elegant and compatible with the iPhone in a very easy way without setup, that alone, if they get some people hooked on it, that could be an entire category health book that really, really compels people to buy just to get healthier.
I do agree with that because I had the Jawbone and I had the Fitbit and I made myself stop using both of them because I was waiting for a new watch to come. And apparently the Apple Watch by all tests is more accurate than all of those devices also. So.
But the software sucks. I have to say I'm super disappointed in their health kit, you know, so far. And I really hope that like Basis or Fitbit will use this as an input. That would be killer if you could use any of the other apps with the Apple Watch as the input to give that data.
HealthKit is just sort of like a middleman. The interface is terrible, but it's a great station for stuff to be coming in and going out and going out.
It's a first gen for its interface, and I think that they're going to get better as they realize how people interact with it.
Yeah.
Plus, Apple fans are just huge fans of their products, and we're talking about over 250 million user base of people that have iPhone 5s and 6s. We're talking about 2%, and we've already hit our 5 million.
Right.
We're going to be, I think that 2% of Apple users are going to, way over that percentage, are going to be ending up using, getting an Apple Watch.
These are going to be bundled. So they're going to be bundled by Christmas.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty easy, I think, to hit huge numbers for Apple, you know. And then we'll have to see where it goes from there.
The other thing I came away with is how brilliant Apple is in two things, design and marketing. It is beautiful. I mean, you have two of the best designers in the world, Andy, I don't know who Andy is, Johnny Ive and Mark Newsom. And I think they've done given that they had to make it thick enough to put a battery in, they've done a very good job of design.
It feels good.
It feels good. It looks good. The OLED screen is spectacular.
There are a million clever, like each band is clever in a different way in terms of how it connects.
Other hand.
I don't like the crown.
When the Apple iPhone came out, they lapped everybody in the business. There was nobody even close, right? Yeah. I don't feel like that's the case today. I think that, in fact, Android Wear is pretty darn close and could easily keep up, look at what Apple's done and say, oh, we can do that and we can best it. So it's going to be – that's good for consumers. That's going to mean there's going to be a lot of choice, and it's not just going to be on iOS.
Although Apple has a huge advantage on iOS in that they can establish a much more robust – and sophisticated connection between the phone and the watch than Pebble or anybody else can.
I agree, on iOS.
On iOS,
but an Android Wear watch can do much more with Android of course, Android is much more open.
And it can talk to all of Google's services, which it does.
Yeah. So I agree, Android Wear, even though it is coming to iOS, just as Pebble, it will never really be a full peer as Apple Watch is to iOS. On the other hand, on if you're an Android user, I would say don't feel left out. You're going to be just fine because the Android Wear watches, they're already a second generation is starting to come out. I'm going to get the LG Urbane on Wednesday. That's a pretty nice looking round watch.
But we'll see. It come in solid gold, Uncle Leo?
It is goldish.
Solid gold. Not goldish. Solid gold.
You know, it's funny because Jason bought the solid gold watch and then had it plated to look aluminum because he didn't want to be too hoity-toity.
I didn't want to be too ostentatious here. So,
but if you put his watch on, it weighs like 4 pounds. It's amazing.
I covered the diamonds in rubber.
Jason hangs out in rough neighborhoods. He doesn't want to get robbed on the
streets. I don't want to get jacked for my bling.
I've been wearing the Moto 360, which is an LCD screen and does not look half as good as the OLED screen. That's
What price would this become a huge seller, do you think, Leo?
$250. No, maybe not huge.
$199?
$199, yeah.
Because he said it costs $80 to make.
By the way, Tim Cook in his analyst call said, I hate it when people say how much it costs for us to make. He hates it for two reasons. One, because you see the profit margins. Two, he says, because you can't possibly, we don't use off-the-shelf components, so you can't tell me that you know how much my special VLSI CPU costs, because I make it and you don't.
Right.
Or the Taptic engine.
By the way, Taptic. It's just a freaking vibrator. It is not. This is Apple's marketing skill. The engine is a Taptic engine that will make your wrist feel as if somebody's touching it. No, it's just a vibrator.
It's a haptic vibrator.
It's a normal
vibration.
It's not. I thought maybe it was going to feel like left, right, or ghostly touches. No, it's just a buzz. Am I wrong?
It's a softer buzz. It's a slower oscillation, which causes less of a shocking buzz.
You guys are really in the reality distortion field. If you think this is anything but a buzz, and by the way, you can hear it. Other people can hear it.
Yes, you can hear it for sure.
It is not an invisible tap on your wrist. It sounds like a buzz, and I can hear it when you're buzzing, so stop it.
They did oversell that a bit.
They oversold it, and they sold it. That's what they do.
That's what they're
good at. They find new words for everything. The intersection between humanity and technology. The Taptic engine is the thinnest, lightest. That's good. They're good. They're marketing wizards. That's what Steve Jobs was brilliant at.
There's one new thing, though, for the interface, the Force Touch, which I don't think people even know about.
I have the MacBook Pro with the
It has the Force Touch, yeah.
It is kind of weird because when it's off, you can tell. That's a one piece. There's no clicking at all. And then you turn it on and suddenly you feel clicking. It's like, what happened?
Because
that does fool you. But on the watch, does it? I don't know. You know, the watch does do one thing I wish the iPhone did. You could force touch notifications and clear them all at once.
Oh, is that?
You can't do that on the iPhone.
Yeah.
You have to one by one.
Oh, my God, you're right.
It's the worst thing ever.
Genius. For people who don't know what force touch is.
They've had it on every other phone for 5 years.
But Apple did it.
It's genius.
It's genius now.
Yeah, watch. So you get all your notifications. Yeah, yeah. You force touch. Well, actually, I'm not in the.
Yeah. You hold it down.
Wait a minute, I gotta screw
for people who don't know what force touch is, it means you push it really hard.
You push it hard.
And you don't let go.
That's another word. Look, it's called pressure sensitive, right?
Yeah.
And the problem is that you don't know when you can and can't do that until you try, and it either does or doesn't do anything.
It's kind of like Windows 8 in that regard. Okay. It has magical incantations.
It's like a right click. You don't know what you're going to get until you try it.
Right.
In fact, it is pretty closely analogous to the right click,
isn't
it? Yeah.
It is the right click of...
I have... This is the simple watch face, or utility watch face. Which one are you using?
I have...
You have Mickey. By the way... Oh, we got to try this. Wait a minute.
How come they
Give me your... Everybody put your watch face on Mickey.
Okay. For those of you in the
room. No, you don't have to, because you're not in the room. It won't work. But I want to just see if Mickey... So all three of the people in the room, put it on Mickey, and then let's see if Mickey's toe tapping is... If they said it would be in synchronization.
No way.
Okay, no, take it off. You have to take it off.
Take it off. We'll put it in one spot.
We're going to put them all in one spot. We're going to put them side by side. This is a very... This is... Oh, crap.
Now you got to do it on camera. Hold it like this and do your PIN code.
Oh, crap.
Cover your PIN code.
Oh, who cares if you know my PIN code? So what? What are you going to do? You know my freaking PIN code.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Do your PIN code.
You're going to take all my money out of my bank account.
I'm going to take all your money. Oh, wait a minute. Yep. It looks like it's insane.
Oh, my God, it is insane.
Oh, we just need one more to really prove this. One more. Okay, one more. Oh, crap.
Oh, no.
Oh.
That's like $2,000 worth of watches right there. Be careful.
I think he's in sync.
He's in sync.
I don't know why that excites me.
You need to loosen up your bow tie.
But how come there aren't more?
All that yelling, the bow tie's getting tighter and tighter every time you get to shriek, and I feel for you.
Am I turning red?
Yeah, there's no watch face story yet, though, right?
No.
So there will never be. I'll tell you. What happened to Oh Doctor? Are you in the doctor?
I got skylights. The sun's setting on me. I don't know what's going on.
I love that you have your glasses on.
This looks like an episode of Homeland all of a sudden.
I know.
I'm sorry.
We're talking to Islamabad.
Exactly.
Owen.
It's wintertime. It's nighttime. So I have my lights and stuff set up. But I'm like, it's so bright. I don't need lights. Now the sun's right in my face.
Wait a minute.
Of skylights.
We buried the lead. Georgia Dow, you don't like Mickey Mouse?
I really don't like Mickey Mouse.
Oh, my God.
Is he kind of creepy?
Is he like creepy clown creepy?
I don't know. It's just...
When's the last time Mickey had a good hit?
There's too much hype with Mickey. I'm so done with that.
But it is interesting because, remember, Disney is not owned by Apple despite appearances.
They're very good friends, though.
They're very close.
There is the Pixar connection.
And Lorene Jobs is, in fact, the largest stockholder of Disney. But this is still a licensing deal, right?
Why don't they have a store with 100 different options yet?
They might. From Apple or from third parties?
They'll never be a third party.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't do that. I mean, I was impressed by the degree to which the ones they have are customizable. You can get a lot of
features
out of the ones they have.
Yeah, that kind of solves
I assume there will be additional Apple ones, and the only question is whether there will ever be ones from third parties.
All right, we've done it again. I don't know why, but the Apple Watch has consumed many, many hours of programming
on the
Twitter.
It's a new category. It's worth it.
But it's true. When the iPad came out, we spent a lot of time talking about the iPad. When the iPhone came out, we spent a lot of time talking about the iPhone. I mean, it's just the way it is.
I tell you what. This watch didn't change the world like somebody else did this week.
Who else changed the world, Owen J.J. Stone?
Mr. Musk.
Mr. Elon Musk.
For sure he did.
Let's talk about
Tesla. He changed the world. One man.
The Powerwall coming up next.
Elon Musk is like our own Tony Stark.
We love him.
Legitimately.
You know, I'm sitting here. The announcement was at 8:30 Pacific time, which is 11:30 East Coast time.
Yep.
And I'm sitting, I'm watching, they're playing the same two crappy trance songs over and over and over and over. I even tried on Shazam on my watch and on my phone to figure out what they are. They're like production music. And I tweeted, apparently Elon's having trouble getting the Iron Man suit on. Yep. Okay, that was the big joke of the week. Now, let's take a break. When we come back, Powerwall. We will talk about a giant battery that is changing the world, says Owen J.J. Stone. Great cast today. The return of Jason Calacanis to Twit. Everyone, oh my God, Siri was listening.
Twitter's blowing up.
Siri was listening. It's got my entire last, oh my God, look at that. That's pretty good. Nice job.
Oh, the transcript? Oh, yeah.
It's got the transcript.
It does continuous now.
This entire show. And then she says, sorry, Leo, can you try that again in fewer words? Everybody's a critic. Owen J.J. Stone is here from New Jersey.
Somebody in the chat room said I'm live from Baltimore. I think I might have to prepare with that game.
The technologizer, Harry McCracken, the return of Jason Kalik. How long has it been?
A couple years.
I'm sorry.
Don't worry about
Again,
it.
Again.
Listen, it's built up all this energy now.
Yeah.
It's good. We're
Twitter's
back. We're
blowing
together.
Up.
Twitter's blowing up.
And Georgia Dow, and people have been saying, we got to get Georgia on Twit for years, and finally I got around to doing it. It's so good to have you, too, from imore.com. Our show today brought to you by those good people at Carbonite. You know, it's National Small Business Week this week. Hmm. There are no such thing as small businesses, only small minds, small people. Even a small business like this is a small business, needs good backup. Carbonite for home or office is the best way to protect your data in the cloud so that if there's a fire, a flood, you get a earthquake, tsunami, whatever happens, you don't lose your business. I mean, if all your backups are sitting next to your computer and the place burns down, you've lost your receivables, you've lost your client list, your suppliers list. How do you get back in business? Mm-mm. You need Carbonite. You need cloud backup. And Carbonite is easy, especially for a small business where you don't have an IT department. It's easy to set up. 75,000 small businesses use Carbonite for their data. More than 1.5 million folks all over the world use Carbonite. For the hands-on business owner, it makes it hands-free. Backup is hands-free and hassle-free. And right now during National Small Business Week, a special deal when you go to Carbonite.com. Here's the deal. Try it. That's the best thing. And I love our sponsors who say try it for free because then you can see if it works for you. Carbonite.com. Use the offer code TWIT and get that round-the-clock protection and 2 free bonus months as long as you say, I heard it on TWIT. Carbonite. You got to back it up to get it back, so do it right. with carbon monoxide.
Their tagline should be, it was good enough for Han.
Good enough for Han. How long was Han in carbonite?
That's a great question.
Do we know that?
I don't know.
Was it between episodes?
How long was... Siri?
Hey, Siri!
That wasn't wrong. Siri.
See, Siri's not listening to me. She listens when she wants.
Hey, Siri.
Hey, Siri.
Hey, how long? You talk in your hand like that. That's why you look like weirdos.
You look like a weirdo.
On carbonite.
Oh. I know.
Remember when people used to just talk with their earpiece in and you thought that they looked insane?
How long was Han Solo in carbonite? Wow, that was easy.
By the way, Georgia, how do you stand on the, you know, the Star Wars? Are you an original Episode 4, or do you like the Blu-ray version? Have you downloaded all 6 digital episodes? Where do you stand on that?
Well, my husband's a huge fan, so I've had to watch them a million times. I like the original, and in my Star Wars, Han shoots first.
Uh-huh. That's the key. That's the code.
No brainer. And
if you say Han shot first...
don't even exist.
If you say Han shot first, then we know that you're not the, you know... Because George Lucas, for some reason, wants to change it all. I don't know why.
Yeah, well, J.J. Abrams is... going to crush it on.
It's
going
to be good, isn't it?
It's amazing. You can just tell he's like doing the real models. So if you look at a film like Blade Runner or the original Star Wars, it's so believable because the models were real. And once you have this like everything CGI, I think the actors can't act well in it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it looks real. So when you go back to the models and full-scale models of the Millennium Falcon, it's easier for them to act.
And he nailed Star Trek. Like, he hit Star Trek.
He did. I think he did.
Best Star Treks ever. Yeah.
I went and watched Star Trek, and I felt like a kid. I was so proud. Like, I made it. Like, he was my son. I'm like, my son made Star Trek. And I don't even know J.J. Abrams. So I believe in his power for Star
Wars. But have you seen BB-8? Look at this guy.
It's based on the Sphero.
It's made by Sphero, right?
It's made by Sphero, yeah.
Am I the only one that's going to be getting one when they come out?
Oh, everybody's going to get one.
Getting one.
I signed up. Sphero is actually going to sell them. I signed up immediately.
Will it have the top, though? The top piece, too?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So, yes. So Sphero, if you didn't see it, and it's funny because they've been at like all the expos and CES for years, and it's kind of a dorky game where the ball rolls itself and you control it with an iPhone.
Yep.
And we've all played it, and they have Sphero soccer and stuff. And I have some somewhere in the basement. We have some Spheros. So it didn't really take off until this.
Pretty huge.
And this is going to be
the toy of
Christmas. You passed on investing?
Well, I saw it like 2 years ago, and I was like, I'm not an investor in toys, and I don't understand how this is going to become a huge business. And they were struggling. And now it's going to become huge. But
this is going to kill it.
It's going to be
amazing. It's a robot. The bottom ball is independent. It looks like a snowman. The bottom ball is independent of the head. The head is held on by magnets.
It's incredible.
There is a rod in the lower ball that actually moves the head around. And of course, the head could spin independently. But the reason the ball can roll kind of independently is because it's not attached. It's just magnetically held
on.
It's
genius.
It is
genius.
What
am I going to do with it?
You know, you're just going to bring
chase
it around.
Chase your cat.
and make it. It's like one of those great things just to show everyone because that's just so neat. And then it'll sit there forever.
There is a certain irony to us saying this Apple Watch is stupid, but I got to have a robot that rolls on a ball.
I've always wanted a robot. See, I have to do with, I have Rob. That's my only robot.
Wow.
See?
Oh my God. Look at that.
Is that yours or your husband's? Tell the truth.
Yeah.
No, this is mine.
Oh dear.
No. This is mine.
You can do some serious science experiments with that, if I remember the marketing correctly.
So I need BB.
I really want a BB-8, but I don't know how we got into that.
I wrote a pretty enthusiastic review of Sphero, but I have to admit that after finishing my review, I didn't come back to it.
No.
It
was cool, but...
Here's the thing. I'm playing with it with my 7-year-old daughter, and we have 2 of them. We have friends over. We make little tracks.
Oh, you
we
do?
We have races. We really? Jump them. We take them into the pool. Like, we do stuff, dog. Like, y'all are adults. Y'all don't got time for toys. Like Jason said, he didn't want to invest in a toy. Y'all don't know about toys. Give it to some kids. Share it with the world.
I bought for Christmas last year, not even this 2014, but 2013, I bought the Anki Drive. Those are the cars.
Oh, yes,
like slot car racing, but you would just, but there was no slots, and they could read the track.
They go along the track really fast,
and they'd shoot at each other and stuff.
And do you continue to play?
I'm just
with
coming.
Them?
I'm raiding your garage, Uncle Leo. You got stuff just sitting.
I got
places.
Stuff.
No,
you
got
Henry, I'm coming.
This was expensive because I only bought the basic kit, but I bought 2 extra cars. But I spent a lot of money on this. And Henry went, that's nice, and went home and went back to school, and that was it. So I have it.
If I'm bringing my daughter over. We're going shopping.
Come over. Right. I would love to meet your daughter.
She's awesome.
She's got to be totally awesome.
She made me take her. She does karate, right? This week she made me take her to MMA. She saw UFC on TV, and she's like, "Can I do that?" And I'm like, "You want to do that?" She's like, "Yeah." So we went for the free class, and everybody was like, "Wow, your daughter is a beast." And I'm like, "Yes, she is."
Oh my God! How old is she?
She's seven.
Owen, you have to get your girl. You got to get her involved in Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
She already
every
got
girl
her purple.
Should learn Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
She got her. She has her purple belt in jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and now she's doing regular karate. She's on her orange belt, and now she wants to start MMA. And she, like I said, she asked for a punching bag for Christmas. That's the kind of daughter I got.
So I think you should get her a BB-8 instead. She could punch the BB-8.
Whatever. I just don't have to worry about boys. That's all I'm happy about. And we're going
to
come raid
your
garage.
Oh, you don't have to worry about boys.
Get free toys.
You do not have to worry about boys. She going to kick their ass.
Right?
Georgia, you're also into Brazilian jiu-jitsu? Because I know Renee is. He almost killed me.
I saw the video.
New
that
Year's
was
Eve.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That was a great video. Yeah, I love Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I've done martial arts all my life, but Brazilian jiu-jitsu, it evens out the odds. You don't have to worry about that if you know Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Everything's good.
Well, that's it, right? You use the energy and momentum of your opponent against them.
I'm tiny, but, you know, all my body against someone's neck, it's not happening.
Right, right. Now I'm scared. Elon Tesla. Elon Tesla. That should be his name.
Yeah, they should call him Tesla.
Just call him Tesla. Tesla the second. Elon Musk. So I'm watching, listening to Dad. I actually gave up because it was half an hour before it started. It was late. And I just gave up. And now I'm sad because everybody's saying it was a great keynote. What I saw of it wasn't super polished. He was just kind of talking.
Yeah.
You didn't watch it? You didn't watch it later?
I did watch it later.
Okay.
But do you think it was the greatest tech keynote you've ever seen?
Let me tell you something about this. First of all, everybody's brainwashed by this Apple thinner, lighter, better. To see a regular man get up and give a regular speech and then change the world, I don't care what he said. I don't care when he flubbed. I love when he joked. He was so
real.
The fact that we could change the world now. If we do X, Y, and Z, and it's possible, if you guys help me, I can help you. I don't care what he said. It was 18 minutes of pure joy. I sent it to two of my friends who are basically in huts right now. They travel the world helping sick kids in Africa, and the other friends in China helping animals and stuff. And my one friend was like, I'm literally crying right now because you don't understand the places I go to that have solar power, and then they can't have power at night, and they can't do it. There aren't options. Like the batteries, like he was saying, are junk. They literally are. And people that are in those countries – one day we'll be able to have sustained power. He changed the world. Him, his team, everybody. I want to go work for that man. I work for that man for free right now. Mm-hmm. I love that man so much. It is a powerful, powerful thing. It's amazing.
And you know what? And you know what? I'm playing it right here. And you know what? He's Canadian.
That's why he's so nice,
he's
I guess.
I
thought he was from South Africa.
He's from South Africa.
I think he's Canadian.
I think he came to the country.
Is it really?
Yeah. I think he just did a little when he landed here.
Wish. That
he's South African.
I was trying to figure out his accent. Yeah, South African. That makes sense.
Yeah,
he sounds that South African. He's got that bored.
No, he's tough like a South African.
Thing going.
What I loved about it was, I don't think that it was the greatest keynote. I love the same thing that Owen loved. I love that it was fresh, that it was honest, that it wasn't filled with market speak.
Right.
And that it wasn't something that like a company brought out. It was just him. Something that he believes in. It was quirky. It was
look
awkward, but it was honest. Yeah.
This is one of my favorite pieces. Let me back it up just a little bit. We'll play this. Can you hear him? Why is it so low? He turned up all the way.
Right before that is the best part when he said, "We have this fusion reactor and it's free and it comes up
it's called
every day."
The sun.
I thought of every movie I've seen in my lifetime where it's like James Bond, they're like, they're building a fusion reactor, and none of that crap's real. And he's just like, hey, you know, we got like a free one, right? You know?
Right.
The thing, like, it's up there.
We already have
waiting.
One.
Jason, it's turned all the way up?
Yeah.
Is it just me? Jason Howell, I'm asking. Because it's very quiet.
It's really not much.
There it is.
And most of that.
So let me back up one more time.
Land is needed to get rid of all fossil fuel. Electricity generation in the United States. That blue square there is the land area that's needed to transition the United States to a zero carbon electricity situation.
That blue square, if that were solar panels. Now, by the way, that blue square is probably 800 miles by 800 miles. It looks small, but it's
a city.
It's a city, but that would replace all our dependence on foreign fuels on everything.
Yep.
It would
yep.
be solar. And if, by the way, that area is about the area of all the of the roofs in the United States.
It's really not it's, much. And most of that area is going to be in rooftops. So you won't need to disturb land. You won't need to find new areas. It's mostly just going to be on existing, the roofs of existing homes and buildings. So I really
although the panhandle of Texas would be a good place to put it because it's sunny.
There's a lot of places out there that are open that you can get a lot of good square space out of.
Nevada, I think there's some big solar farms out there, right?
That's where his gigawatt factory is going to be.
Yeah.
You want to have a local storage, which is the whole point of this, because you have the peak usage and the dip, right? And when we have peak usage in California and the other states, we fire off coal to kind of build enough energy for people. And that's what he's talking about here.
Store the energy that is generated during the day so that you can use it at night. Also, even during the day, the energy generation varies. There's a lot more energy generated in the middle of the day than at dawn or dusk. So it's very important to smooth out that energy generation.
There's these big peaks and valleys.
Right. And so what will happen is you'll have this, even if you just had the battery pack without solar in your house, you could download, and the grid's getting smart now, it will tell you electronically over the interwebs, hey, energy is cheap now, charge your battery, right? So when you have a Tesla, you can set it to charge at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., when you know that the load is low and you get cheap electricity.
You have a Tesla, right?
Yeah, it's right outside.
You got the first
That's serial number one. Yeah. Elon gave it to me.
That's nice.
Well, it's a good story behind it. So,
that's right. You were the first person I knew to get a Tesla.
Well, what happened was the company was going out of business, and I was at dinner with him, and he was really...
Was this the period where we just now learned Google, he was hoping to sell it to Google?
This was even before that, when all the trade pubs were saying, hey, it's got 2 weeks or 3 weeks worth of payroll.
Wow.
And so we're out at dinner, just the two of us in L.A., and I said, well, certainly there's some good news. He's like, well, I blew up the second rocket. I was like, what happens if you blow up a third rocket? He goes, SpaceX is done. I said, well, how are you doing, you know, personally? And he was getting divorced from his first wife at that time. And I said, certainly there must be some good news. Tell me something good that's going on. And he took out his BlackBerry. That's how old it was. And he said, well, don't tell anybody, but here's the clay model of the...
The Roadster.
The Model S. We had the Roadsters. And he showed me the clay model of the sedan. And I said, wow, that's gorgeous. What do you think you can get it for? And he said, well, don't tell anybody, but I think I can make this for $50,000. So I went home and I wrote two checks for $50,000 and I put them in a FedEx envelope. And I said, looks like a great car. I'll take two. So and I told my wife, we're never going to see this. It's going to pay for like a couple days of payroll at Tesla. Right. That's going out of business.
Right.
But I have to support my friend.
That's awesome.
2 years later, the checks were cashed. And it said, congratulations, your serial number reservation is 00001.
Oh, my gosh.
000073. Oh, and I forwarded it to Elon, and I was like, Elon, you don't have to give me the first one. He goes, I want you to have it. You ordered it before anybody. You deserve
That's
it.
That's a great story.
And I said, okay. And so I got it outside, and then I was just offered $250,000 for it from a collector.
No.
Twice what I paid
Because it's one.
It's certainly a serial number one. So I'm going to put it on. I'm going to donate it to the Smithsonian or something.
That is amazing.
But, you know, he's a transcendent entrepreneur, obviously. But what you see here, what I loved about this keynote was he was going up there talking about not his business, but the problem that the world faces.
Right.
And 99% of the keynote was, hey, everybody's denying climate change. Here is the chart of carbon. Here is a solution that will work. And he's trying to explain to people who are in climate denial and who believe that the world cannot solve its own problems and saying, you can solve your problems. If we put out, 200 million of these in the world, we can get everybody off of fossil fuel. It is possible. And to give you an idea, if we put 1 billion of these in the world, well, we put 1 billion cars out in the world every 2 billion cars in the world, like every 20 years. We can do this in our lifetime and we can make carbon go sideways. So this was a pitch to stop climate change, not a pitch for
now
his own bankroll. And that's what blew everybody away. It was like, it would be like if Steve Jobs got on stage and was like, hey, the reason we're going to get these watches is because if we have everybody's health data, we can help everybody with that, big data cure cancer eventually because we'll have everybody's data. This was transcendent. It wasn't about him. It was about climate change.
When I say change the world, I mean change the world. Literally, when you get to those points that Jason just pointed out, and he also said, I can't do it alone. I would love for other companies to come in here and help me. Now, how many of these companies are going to sit around like Blockbuster looking at Netflix saying, oh, well, nobody's going to want that. That doesn't matter. And the next thing you know, they're ramping up and they're like, wow, nobody's really coming into the store. And why is the grid not producing as much power as it used to? Oh, because people are getting these batteries. And the next thing you know, they're left out in the dust because somebody else is doing it. I hope to God that people get behind this and that for some reason, the older dinosaur tart carts of the world think about the future and change things. Because he literally said, hey, it's open source technology. Help me do it. Help me change the world. Here's how we do it. He gave you a plan, a blueprint, and he's giving it to you on a platter. Let's go.
So I want to talk specifics. So what he's selling is a house size. It's not a house size, but it's a battery suitable for powering a house. It's called Powerwall.
Yeah.
It is not that big. I mean, it's a small refrigerator. Maybe it's thinner than that.
It's like, it's only, I think, 9 inches deep.
Yeah.
Or something like 12.
And it's lithium-ion batteries.
It's the same batteries from the Tesla, because the whole floorboard of the Tesla is a battery pack.
I've heard stories that people have actually taken their Teslas apart for the batteries.
Yeah, and you put the battery on the wall like this, boom.
Yeah.
So that's what he basically made was. He took the Tesla technology and put it there. And what's really interesting is the story arc for Elon was, when he was starting SpaceX, he started bringing in metal into this side of the factory. And I remember him touring, and he said, this is the metal we're going to use to make that rocket. And then he had a machine in between. That's going to press it. Then when he did Tesla, he's like, he took those same lessons he learned and put it to Tesla to build a car. So when you go to the Tesla factory, materials come in here, car comes out there. He's not making any of the parts from somebody else. Now,
by the way, that's what Henry Ford did with the Rouge factory. Boxcars pulled up with timber and iron ore, coke, and it would make a car would come out the other end.
The only thing that he was supplying, or true things he was supplying from other places, was the drivetrain, the steering column was from Mercedes. And then, and I don't think it is in the next one, but the batteries he was getting from China. And he said, I remember him telling him, like, if they're not going to be able to make enough batteries for me. I got to make my own battery.
Right. That's when the Gigafactory.
And that's when the Gigafactory came in. And because one of the things that's happened is the stock price of Tesla has appreciated so much that he's been able to use that to take on bigger projects like the Gigafactory. The Gigafactory is going to produce batteries for everything. And this wall battery idea could change everything, because if you store that electricity local and you got 10% of people to do that, we might not have to fire up the coal plants. We might be able to stick with nuclear, hydro, and
cleaner
solar.
Choices.
And the cleaner choices. And if you think it's impossible, in Germany, they're phasing out nuclear, and they've had days when they've been 60, 70% renewables. Now, these are weekend days, whatever. But, you know, you have France, which is 90% nuclear, and then you have Germany, which is, like, you know, 30 to 70% renewables. This can happen in the United States. I mean, we're going to get to the point where we'll have either free or close to free electricity. If we do that, desalinization is currently running at a penny a gallon. There's new nanotechnology, basically mesh filters, where water can get pushed through, because desalinization is just about energy. The energy to push it through these nano things, it's going to go down to a tenth of a penny per gallon. When that happens, if we can have the solar and the batteries and a decentralized grid, we could be sucking the water out of the Pacific Ocean, and we could make the deserts into oases. Wow. So the whole world's going to change in our lifetime, and I think it's...
And this is the first step.
This is going to be part of the legacy that Elon has.
Unbelievable.
It's going to solve all these problems, and so I'm a techno-optimist, but mainly because of my friendship with Elon and seeing him do it.
It's quite impressive.
He does not have the fear gene.
Yeah, he has the courage.
That's what people don't understand.
Yeah.
Zero fear in the man.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw him on the brink of a nervous breakdown, and he's told the story publicly about, you know, how he almost had a nervous breakdown during all this. And he was living off a loan from one of our famous billionaire friends. And he told that story publicly recently. And he brought it all back. But, I mean, to have $200 million in personal wealth, shove it all into two companies, be living off a loan from your friend, and then come back from that, I mean, he has no fear gene. And I remember one time he's like, hey, you're playing poker? I wonder if I should learn how to play poker. I was like, no.
No.
I am not going to be the man responsible.
A very valuable
for you learning how to play high stakes poker. No effing way. He's a very funny guy. And I think what I like about his talk here is you're starting to see his humor. He's actually coming out of his shell a little bit.
So you feel like this is the Elon you know a little bit better.
It's definitely the Elon I know, because he was making jokes about putting his pinky up when he said billion and stuff like that.
I kind of liked what I saw.
He's
here.
A funny guy.
I mean, it was unplugged in a way. Keynotes rarely are.
It was unplugged. That's a good phrase.
Keynotes are overproduced. They usually. I went to the Build keynotes. They had like 27 people on stage. There's almost nobody who even tries to pull off a keynote by themselves anymore. Even Steve Jobs, for many years, would bring a whole bunch of other people on stage
And heavily rehearsed for weeks and. Never strays off the prompter, but this is kind of loosey goosey. He's talking.
His credibility is built too. That's the thing that's going to be, you know, great.
So let's talk about this thing is $3,500. This Powerwall battery to the installer. How does this work for the end user? I mean, do I need to install a solar array in my backyard, or does it matter?
It doesn't matter. I mean, you put solar in, you would charge for solar.
I would like to do that, because then I'd be off the grid, right?
And then when you have these things like I was just texting with Elon the other night. I was like, if we have another New York situation where New York lost power for 3 or 4 days,
right.
everybody in that city is going to put one of these in.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be the tipping point. And nobody really got this on Thursday night.
But isn't it too expensive to do that? I mean, that's a lot of money,
no,
right?
No, $3,500 if you own a house that's worth, you know, the average home in these major cities is now $2, $3 million.
Isn't some of the issue, though, the payoff cost of it? I mean, the people looking at the cost, you know, my power bill is so much, and this is going to cost so much. It's going to take 30 years to pay 20 off.
20 or 30 years to pay off. But think about this. How many people do you know who are putting backup generators in or buying a backup generator from Home Depot for $600?
That's like what I was going to say. There are people that are in struck areas of this country where there's storms, there's outages, that would want something like this because, one, it's fixated. You know what it is. A generator could go bad in a different way. You have to have them outside your house. They cause fires. There's all kinds of other problems with those kind of generators and backup systems that you have currently. And if you did have solar, great, you're going to get free power. If you don't, and you're in Alaska or somewhere down south or in the wooded area or off grid anyway, this is where that's going to start, and then it'll expand out.
It'll also be
people love that feeling of being in control of themselves. I think that makes them feel much more empowered, so that you're controlling the electricity that you deal with. And you're helping out the environment at the same time. It's not just about monetary gain.
Right.
So I think that people will enjoy being able to do it all themselves and producing their own electricity. And if they can, being able to give back to the system.
How long would this keep me with power? Is it a day? Is it a half a day?
It's a couple of hours, I think. It really depends on if you have your dryer.
Right.
Your dryer and your washing machine and your
turn those off.
Dishwasher. Those are the
well. The well's electric. If I lose my power, I don't have water. So there's an advantage to having a
Don't
a
be
big
surprised
battery.
If in a couple of years you see an incentive from California or other states.
I think PG&E is already giving you credit.
Because
if you get this.
Yeah, just like they did for solar, they're having a problem as the cost of maintaining the grid goes up. Something like this takes the strain off the grid.
That's right.
And so
it's a huge benefit to them.
Huge benefit to them. So they'll subsidize it. And you're talking about like $1 a day for 10 years, you'll have something like this in your house. For people who own homes, it's going to be a no-brainer.
Yeah, did
you write Elon a check already for the first
I didn't buy
power
this
wall?
One yet because I'm renting right now because I moved up to San Francisco and I can't find
a
house.
Oh, you moved up here?
I'm living in Pack Heights right now.
You're not living in beautiful Brentwood with the movie stars and
I'm selling my house right now in Brentwood. I'm living here. Well, you know what? It's like I was coming up here every week and I have a daughter now. It's just like too much commuting.
So good. So we'll see more of you.
Absolutely. I'm down the block.
Awesome.
Took me half an hour to get here.
I thought you drove here from L.A. I don't know why.
Yeah, I stopped at 3 Super Trucks. It took me literally half an hour to get here. I was racing up. Waze is amazing.
Did you have the original Sportster? Or no, this is.
I have the number 16 of the Roadster, and
that's what I thought.
Yeah,
I
still have that one.
Yeah,
yeah.
I have a picture of me stuck in that actually.
In my car?
Traffic?
Yes. Uncle Jason let me sit in it out front, and I couldn't get out.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
I showed people that picture. Oh, yeah, I sat in the top of a Tesla. I couldn't drive it because my feet wouldn't reach the pedal, but I got it. One, I couldn't get out. They had to like jaws of life me, but you know.
All right, we're going to this. Now you got me really excited. I was excited before, but now you've got me really excited.
I'm way more excited than I was when I came here.
Yeah.
He changed the world. When you hear the stories and all the movies you've ever seen in your life, one man can change the world, blah, blah, blah. When we watch Knight Rider, one man can make a difference. Elon Musk is Knight Rider. He's dead. Mike Devin, he's doing it.
I'll just to tease before we go to commercial, I just dropped 100 dimes into the Hyperloop company.
That's gonna be, you're crazy. That's nuts. That's a pneumatic tube from San Francisco to LA. Your brains will be on the back wall of it.
I just put 100 dimes into it.
Why? You think that's
like,
gonna happen?
Listen, the same reason when people told me I invested in Uber that it was crazy.
I know,
like, that's my
nuts.
Job is to make crazy bets.
But seriously, Elon's not gonna build the Hyperloop. He just suggested it.
He suggested it, but one of his senior engineers from SpaceX.
Somebody is gonna build this.
After we get back from commercial break, we'll talk about it.
I can't wait to hear about it.
Professional broadcasting.
You are a trained professional. I wish I had an Audible ad for you.
God, I wish you had a Stamps ad because that saved my life a bunch of times.
Oh, okay. You're not an investor in Stamps, are you?
No, but I use it.
Okay.
We
That's
use it
even
over
better.
Three companies.
That's even better.
It's a great
Stamps
product.
Is what turns your fulfillment operation pro. If you sell on eBay or Amazon or Etsy and you're selling out, and I, you know, it's so funny because Lisa buys a lot of stuff on Etsy and we always get these boxes and it looks like a monkey wrapped it and then it's got 800 stamps on it.
Yep.
And it doesn't project the most professional look. And it's so easy with Stamps.com. First of all, you don't have to go to the post office anymore,
nope.
right? So a lot of stress is off your head because you can do it all at your desk with your computer. You get that USB scale, so you always know exactly how much postage. When you print the postage, and by the way, you can print it on envelopes too. It's not just for packages. You can print it right onto envelopes with your company logo. The return address is automatic. You could pull the addresses out of QuickBooks or other address databases, or right from the website. If you're sending a package, you see how professional it looks. And your logo's on there, and it's you look like you're a real business. And I can't tell you how important that is. It just makes a huge difference. First impression, absolutely. So you're going to love it because you don't have to go to the post office. You get a discount you can't get at the post office. And you get convenience factors, like it'll automatically send an email if it's one of those kinds of priority mail that you have to sign for, or express mail. So the email goes out with a tracking number, all this stuff automatically. I want you to try it, and we got a great deal for you. It's our no-risk trial. If you go to stamps.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner there. The offer code for this is TWIT. Just put TWIT in the offer code. Then they know that you heard about it here, and you'll get a $110 bonus offer. That includes that digital scale, yours to keep, $55 in free postage, a month of stamps.com. It's really a nice deal. Stamps.com. Click the microphone. Use the offer code TWIT. And transform your business.
You know what we use it for?
What do you use it for?
You know what media mail is?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So media
books,
mail.
When you send books.
Yeah. So like the idea of selling a book for like $2 or $3 and then you have to ship it for $7 or $8 because it weighs a lot. It's crazy. Right. So the U.S. Postal Service came out with this thing called media mail, which is like $2 or something.
But it's slow, but it's still cheap.
Yeah. It gets there in under 10 days, like 5, 6, 7 days. But you can do it through stamps.com. And we basically sell all of our books every year, all of our media. And you can just get rid of it.
I didn't even know you did books.
Yeah, I like to
read. You're in so many businesses.
I just like to read. I'm a big reader. I like to learn.
I do. I love books.
I love books and I love audiobooks, my two things.
Yeah, yeah.
But media mail, it's a super tip.
All right, so you are going to tell us...
Hyperloop.
About the Hyperloop. It's a big scoop here. Science fiction crazy. The idea is, how fast are you traveling?
Well, it'll be thousands of miles per hour, but I think that it's more realistic that you could say 1,000 miles an hour.
And how long? So from LA, from San Francisco to LA, like half an hour?
I mean, you're talking about 20, 30 minutes. So they're.
I would love that.
So Elon's not doing it, just to be clear, but.
He proposed it.
Yeah. So one of the SpaceX engineers is now doing it. And I invested in it, and a couple of other people have invested in it. And we're going to make a 2-mile test track.
Ah.
And then from there, once we get the 2-mile test track and people can, and we're making a life-size one. And so when people can see that.
What do you mean life-size?
Well,
it's going to be doll-sized.
Well, here's what
I'm glad to hear that.
It was actually going back to Elon Musk.
When he did little HO-sized trains.
People were suggesting make a small one, right?
Oh, and there it is.
Right?
That's it.
So we're actually making a full two-mile track. And
are you going to ride in it?
I don't know if humans will be in it, but I wouldn't be opposed to it if it's tested enough. But here's the thing. What Elon learned with doing the space with the engines, they were like, oh, make a small size model. And I was like, you know what? The cost savings of making a small size model is the difference in materials.
Right.
It's not actually that much.
It's not the building. Yeah.
The engineering and the time cost of all these engineers. So we've hired a couple dozen engineers and we're off to the races and we'll have a 2-mile track in the next 2 years.
How important is that proof of concept? That's how you get lawmakers and others to say, okay, this could work.
It was like, you know, when basically we just took the Elon Musk playbook from SpaceX and from Tesla, which is you have to prove it to people. So he proved it with this ridiculous roadster, people paying $140,000 for basically an unusable car. And then, you know, the next one came out was the Model S, which was somewhat usable. And then the third gen will be the super usable.
Should I get the third gen?
The X with the gull wing, you have to get. It's going to be amazing. But the third gen is going to be like a Mini Cooper.
I won't have any room in my garage because I'll have 18 batteries in there.
It's cantilevered. So actually, when the door is open, it doesn't go any. It's actually narrower than opening a regular door.
Right.
It just goes like this.
It just goes.
But anyway, the Hyperloop, if it works, it could change everything because it could go underground into water to China. And it's going to. What people think is about moving people.
It's not going to LA.
Well, LA, Vegas, everywhere is a possibility. Here's the thing. The magic of it could be shipping. If we can get it to work from here to China in our lifetime,
and you
could
know
be
who's
moving
changed
stuff.
That? It's because of Apple.
Yeah.
Because if the 2 months it would take to put this on a ship, you're not going to do it. So they fly them in 747s.
It turns out like a large percentage of the fossil fuel being used on the planet is being used by a small number of container ships. Like literally 100 container ships are causing a lot of the problems in the world.
So you just put this in the Hyperloop.
You're literally going to be shipping.
What powers it?
So it could be any power.
It's electrical?
Electric, anything. But it's just because it's a vacuum, there's no resistance.
Right.
That just made me understand it and care about it because 34 seconds ago, I care less about hyperlooping, but putting freight in it and moving it is fine. Yeah, otherwise,
that makes sense.
Scrambled eggs. All I kept thinking of the brains of scrambled egg people with their brains scrambled, yeah. And that's all I kept thinking. But shipping, oh.
Well, yeah. That's interesting.
Drop some coin in for me, Uncle Jason. I'll pay you back after and then with the
it's
thing.
It's basically a giant pneumatic tube.
Precisely.
Here in China.
Yeah. The interesting thing is also you is don't.
That, wait a minute. Do you have to dig a tunnel to China?
No, it will actually would be floating in the water. And so it would, you basically would have it sneaking to China underwater at a certain depth that you would have to be make sure that people don't like drop anchor around that area.
Yeah.
I was like, what's the biggest danger? They're like, an anchor. I was like, yeah, that would be bad, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But here's the very interesting thing. So that would only be, that wouldn't be used for humans in all likelihood. But I was like, well, what happens if this tube gets compromised? They're like, well, that's the greatest thing in the world in terms of safety because then it slows down because there's air in the tube.
Right.
So the second you compromise the tube, like I say, a terrorist were to break it open,
right.
Everything just slows down and you stop. No problem. Like a ride at Disneyland stopping. It's not a big deal.
Right.
So, you know, it's...
And there's not people in it anyway. It's just 80,000 iPhones.
If it works, we could be putting cities in places, you know, like we could go an hour east of here or 2 hours east of here and have people commuting into San Francisco, and you would solve this problem of the poor and the rich and the real estate crisis. So I think you could... if this works, you could short real estate in New York, Manhattan, L.A., and San Francisco because people would be able to live on an acre, you know, out... 2 hours east of San Francisco and be able to come in and commute every day. It could be change the world kind of stuff, which is, you know, sort of as an angel investor, what you're looking for.
Where is the test track going to be?
I can't say. But yep, I do know. So it's
in my backyard.
Anyway, it doesn't really matter even where the test track is. I think we got enough money to get the test track done. And in 2 years, if we can prove the test track works, then it's a true game changer.
It feels very science fiction.
It is and it isn't. You know, it's like a lot of the things that we think are science fiction, the technology has gotten up to. So when you just think about this device, what this device has done in terms of batteries and sensors is now allowing this next generation. So in the way DARPA and the internet allowed this whole level of commercialization to occur with the internet, the smartphone revolution and the sensors in here are allowing the drone revolution. You couldn't have the drone revolution without the batteries in here. You couldn't have the Tesla revolution with the batteries in here. So everything builds on itself.
Father Robert, who's our we call him the quad father. He's our drone guy.
Yeah.
Says it was actually the Segway.
Yeah.
That the technology for the Segway was what led to the capability of doing these drones. Hmm. The self-balancing and all that stuff.
That makes total sense.
So let's talk about another futuristic idea that may not be as good as we thought, the HoloLens. Harry, you wrote about this at Fast Company.
Mm-hmm.
So you got the demo at Build?
I did the original demo back in January in Redmond, and then the new demo of something close to the shipping units last week.
Yeah, Paul and Mary Jo got both of those demos, and they were both crazy. They were so excited after the first demo. You know, the Mars rover thing, the ability to put... augmented reality on top of reality itself so that you can manipulate. But they were very disappointed with Build.
I mean, it was partially because on the first day of Build, they had the keynote where on stage they would have somebody walk out wearing HoloLens. And then to give us an idea of what the experience was like, on these giant video screens, they would overlay the holograms, the 3D objects, on top of video of the person wearing the headset. And there would be, you know, there would be giant screens on the wall that were holograms. There'd be a dog down here. There'd be a spinning globe over here. It really felt like you'd see the stuff all around you.
Yeah.
Well, the units that we got to try a day later, which, I mean, they're much closer in terms of industrial design to the final product than what we saw back in
January.
You don't
have a fanny pack. There's no wires.
It's a headset that works well. It worked fine with my glasses.
Windows 10 is built into it.
Windows 10 is built into it. But there's this small window in the middle of your... field of view, where you see the hologram. And at first I thought there was something wrong with it because...
that's what Thorod thought. He actually gave it back. He said, no, it's wrong.
Me too. We were doing this little programming project. There was like these little balls and ramps on a little platform, and I couldn't see the whole thing. And I was like moving my head back and forth, and I realized if I went back a few steps and bent my knees, I could see the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it turned out that that's the way it is. There's just a little sort of subset of your field of view where there's a hologram. And I was way more bothered by it because a day before, Microsoft had made it look unbelievable.
Well, we're watching the demo on stage, and it
they oversold
so much.
And if they had said, well, of course, in this first unit, you're just going to see it right in front of you, and that's fine. I talked to somebody from Microsoft who said that after you've used this for a while, you start to forget about it,
right.
Which I can believe, because even after an hour, it was less bothersome to me. But I think they are setting expectations way too high by having this truly science fiction-y on-stage demo experience. And I hope before they actually ship this thing that they push people's expectations down so low that it becomes mind-blowing again, because even with the limitations, it's pretty incredible.
What do you think went wrong? Is it just that you don't have enough compute power to make it?
Microsoft has said very little about how this works, but it's pretty clear there's some, you know, you have a little screen which is being projected in front of your eyes, and that little screen is not a wraparound experience.
Is this closer to the actual experience, what we're seeing right there?
As far as I know, no, that even that is not all that close. As far as I know, they've never actually shown how this works. On their website for HoloLens, it looks even more amazing than it does in that demo.
Yeah.
Clearly, I mean, it has something to do with the screen or the processing power or something.
Or people were walking into walls or...
And it's not like Oculus, where Oculus, you know...
That's your whole field of view.
It's all around you.
But see, that's kind of what I liked about augmented reality, like HoloLens versus virtual reality, is that I'm not sealed away inside something else. I'm actually seeing the world around me, but I'm getting additional information about it. It seemed like a great user interface.
This could still be pretty spectacular, even with the limitations. And who knows, maybe this is a first generation kind of thing, and generation two a year later will solve this.
You know, I was so excited because I'm waiting for, like, my Star Trek holodeck, and so I'm so excited about it. But I think that they also, like, the way that they marketed it as, like, a user interface inside of your house, I don't think it's its best application. I think that using it for research, being able to take a look in three dimensions of a brain or do surgeries and see actually how everything's interacting with itself would be better, because all I'm thinking about is, like, Leo, think about being at home and everyone in the house is wearing their HoloLens. What's happening to our social dynamic? And
well,
how
we're
are
all
we
looking at our
other?
Phones and watches anyway. Might as well look in the glasses.
That's why the watch is better than the phone, is because you're not looking at it most of the time. Whereas now, we're not only looking at it, but we've released most of, like, body language is dealt with. How do we talk to each other? Language is mostly, like, 80% is looking at facial features. And so we've lost most of them. So I worry about using a whole bunch of people in their house with HoloLenses. I think that it's going to put a little bit of a damage to our social constraints as each of us are dealing with our
virtual wait.
World.
I can't wait.
Unless you're Tony Stark and you've got something going on where you need to rebuild a space machine or something, I have no reason to care about this stuff at all.
Oh,
it is
no,
the most
I want it.
Annoying. Is your life that bad? Do you not
yes.
have an LED TV?
No,
do you not have a nice...
and
do you
imagine...
not have a phone? Uncle Leo, just listen to me. Do you not have nice things? Are you not married to a beautiful woman? Don't you want to just look at her and the television and watch 4K movies? I don't care about a blue bubble of water sitting in my face. It's just silly. And I don't need to stand up and Skype somebody. I got the computer sitting right here. I got it on my phone. I got it on my tablet. And just to FYI, people do stare at their phones for one more thing. They stare at their watches, because ain't nobody scrolling up on Facebook on their watch. And that's why people don't look at their phones all day. Instagram and Facebook. I don't need no holodeck. I don't need no bubbly thing on my eyes. I love the real world, and the real world is beautiful.
Wow. So, I still want it. Can I have it anyway?
You can have it.
He makes a very good point about virtual reality. We've seen this movie before, right? We've been promised 4 or 5 times. And,
for decades.
Because we're old dudes.
For
we remember VRML. Yes. We remember Jaron Lanier telling us we're
dragon.
All going to fly through, like, Yahoo directory and click on arts and entertainment and pull out a folder, and, like, that's going to be faster and better than our normal searches on Google. You know, it's never happened. And with Oculus, certainly there are made great advances. But what is the killer app going to be outside of video games and adult entertainment?
Oh, I can see a ton of killer apps. For VR, adult entertainment on VR is amazing.
For sure. It's good. Well, it is?
Yeah.
Wait, do you have something you want to share with us? Is it some device that or service we don't know about that I can angel invest in?
Oh, yes. Does it exist already? Absolutely.
Okay. Well,
get your Samsung Gear VR.
But see,
and then you actually can surf to websites that will.
I don't know.
It's
that,
a little scary, actually.
So I'm with Doctor. I don't know that it's going to be super compelling. Even with video games, like, people like to hang out and play video games.
But AR, okay.
But AR is different.
Minecraft.
I'm going to start doing the show. Now on VR.
He looks like the guard in
the right studio with me.
He's like Jordy.
Oh, wow.
Jordy LaForge.
Jordy LaForge is here.
The set is awesome here. I can't believe. I feel like I'm right there with you.
I want to do that. I want to put a VR camera right here.
Augmented reality is different. See, augmented reality is going to be awesome when it's so lightweight, and when you're wearing your sunglasses, and when you're walking by, you can see that this restaurant is 4.5 stars on Yelp, and that the special is this.
Exactly.
And when you go by the movie theater, it's like, hey, here are the movies rated by Rotten Tomatoes score in this movie theater, and there's one starting at this time. And when you're driving,
I want life to be like that. I can look over your head, see your net worth. I can look over Harry's head,
It gently censors score. And nudges me and lets me know all those things.
No. Like you want it floating.
I know, but you have to go like this and block your
view. Floating over your head.
But you know what's interesting is they did that thing with how old do you look?
Yeah, that was dumb.
Putting that in the same time as the augmented reality stuff, I don't think anybody put together that when you wear glasses, you're going to be able to walk around the world
and see how old people are.
And that kind of information. Or if you've ever met them before.
But that's not really what Microsoft is trying to do with HoloLens. That's the Google Glass vision.
Right.
And HoloLens, the most compelling demos they did during the keynote were things like architecture, where you're standing around a table looking at a large model.
Or Minecraft.
And anatomy, where you can see these full-size bodies with skeletons.
Again, those things are useful. Like I said, if you're Tony Stark or you're a doctor and you want to look inside a heart because you're about to do surgery, that's cool. But sitting in somebody's living room looking at a little waterly bubble thing with the weather is stupid to me, and I don't care.
I'll tell you
somebody who's doing something technical with it and doing something important, I'll care.
I'll tell you about a company I almost invested in. They were doing something very interesting, which was you could take the number of shelves you wanted to put in a room, you take out your iPad and you would say, I want to put shelves over there. It'd say, okay, that's 4 feet wide and 12 feet tall. And it would just put how many shelves would fit there. And then you'd say, well, I want to have deeper shelves or wider shelves. And it'd go,
vroom, vroom, I love that.
And then you could hit buy and it would then ship you all the pieces and you put it together from IKEA. We're like, whoa, that's kind of trippy.
Yeah.
That sounds useful.
So I think in architecture, in furniture, and like what's going to be in the space, and education especially, the HoloLens stuff is going to work really well.
Harry, do you feel like it's a new UI though?
Well, I think the UI needs more work because they have this thing called an AirTap where you kind of go like this.
AirTap.
And you do that.
Yeah, that's not good.
A, it doesn't work all that well. And B, it's still fairly limiting. I think
And you kind of look like a douche.
Yeah.
You look as silly doing it.
As mixed reality and augmented reality and virtual reality get more real, I think you're going to want to just use your hands.
Yeah.
And that stuff is happening.
But you know,
too.
With the Kinect on the Xbox, you can do that. And I don't think it works very well. There's gestures like this, where you kind of wax on, wax off. And they don't work very well.
The folks from Leap Motion who do the game controller.
Yeah, I bought a Leap, and that's silly.
Well, they're working on virtual reality though, and it does work better than the AirTap.
Georgia, this is going to be good for your practice, right? Do you already see people who are kind of disassociated from the real world, kids who grow up associating with screens better than humans, and is this going to increase?
Yeah, well, the unfortunate thing is that whatever we do, we end up getting better at, right? So whatever you're practicing, you're getting better at. So people are not really dealing really well with reading each other's social cues.
Right.
And so social skills are going down because people are interfacing more with a unreal world. And so it unfortunately increases social anxiety and people feeling, depressed because they're, you know, if you can be a god in a video game and, you know, you're in school suffering in real life, who would ever choose? I'd always choose a god. It's going to win out every time. Plus, the games are marketed to make people, you know, to increase the reaction of dopamine, so that off-on switch of making us feel good. And it's becoming closer and closer to feeling more and more real. So I think that it's a huge time sink and unfortunately not great for our brains. But I think that in the other hand, I think that we can also use virtual reality to get over different types of fears and to help people that are dealing with, you know, the manner in which they interact with the world as well. So I think that it's how we use it more than, you know, if the technology is good or bad.
It almost sounded like high school just then. We were talking about being a god. In high school, I was the quarterback, and then I got out, and I couldn't get a job because I'm a loser. I mean, life is kind of the same things. And virtual, helping someone be more social, you're still taking them away from being social. Some people are good with people. I lie myself. Some people are horrible, like Uncle Jason sometimes, because he's from New York and he's got that attitude.
What are you talking about? I'm great with people.
But I am an introvert. I'm an introvert, and we have a 12-year at home as an introvert, and we spend a lot of time in the screen.
It's fascinating. You're an introvert. Are you really like a Myers-Briggs introvert?
Oh, I hate people.
INTJ?
Yeah.
I think it's a misanthrope. That's not an
I'm a misanthrope and an introvert.
Really?
I am an unusual combination for a talk show host. I hate people, and I don't want to be around them. No, after when I get home after doing all this interacting with people, I just want to...
Recharge.
I
want to put on a virtual head unit and go talk to
I want to get my Hyperloop.
The therapist.
Curl up in a ball.
It's almost like your Tesla battery pack. You're recharging during that period of time because you've expended so much energy outside of your comfort zone.
And that's the key.
But it works too well, right? If you want to get better at something, you have to practice it.
I practice it all day and I still hate people, so...
How did you change your... Choose your profession in that case.
If you think about it, my profession is radio announcer. What do you do if you're a radio announcer? You sit in an empty room, padded room, and speak into a machine all by yourself.
Right.
That's
right.
I chose the right profession. I don't know how I got here. This is a mess.
And you're so good at it.
Feels like, Georgia, we're teaching ourselves to be Asperger's, like a little bit, or autistic, on the spectrum, right?
Yeah. It does increase our inability to deal with other people, and unfortunately, because our lives are so, we're playing to our own weaknesses of not having to move, not having to deal with other things, we're getting worse at it. So, you know, you want to always be, you know, make sure that you're thinking about being slightly outside of your comfort zone at the same time so that you don't get worse at the skills that you need to get better at.
Yep.
I just don't like when you said about like a virtual reality could help that, because I feel like that's still some kind of screen. Well, getting out and making a friend could help you do that. Like,
no,
just go. I know people don't, I guess. I just live in a world where I see kids and people say, oh, kids don't get out and play. My daughter plays every sport. Her friends play stuff. They come over here. I've got everything. She's got her own TV in her room, her playroom, Xbox, Wii, everything.
You don't worry about it.
They still go outside and play. Yeah. They go outside and play catch. They go across and play basketball. Like, they have everything, and they still go do stuff. Some people do. Some people don't. That's the way the world works.
But I think you're absolutely right. I think that, you know, it's important to do it. And with my kids, I actually don't have them play video games or deal with tech, even though I have like a full grown like arcade cabinet, MAME, and every single video game and technology piece in my house.
Keep it for yourself. Ooh,
can I come over?
Yeah. Hey, sure. You can bring the Sparrows. We can have fun.
But Gordon from the kids. Gordon.
But what, in some ways, it can be helpful. So say that you have a really strong phobia of spiders. And such a phobia, we start really, really small. So we would get a picture of a spider and then a picture of a spider that's moving. And then you can think how the virtual reality would make it one step closer before I actually bring in, which I do, I wrangle real spiders and bring them into therapy. But it would be great to have a virtual experience where they're interacting with a little tiny spider on their hand virtually, which would increase their anxiety response. They could then plateau with it, and then it would be much easier to take that next step when I bring a live spider into session.
My love for you has been renewed tenfold, and I apologize. That is a great example, and I am not the one to not deny when I'm incorrect. You have proven me semi-incorrect. So I stand corrected,
he
my
is
dear.
The semi-incorrect, though, doctor.
Semi-incorrect. Perfect example. Touche, as they say.
All right.
By the way, I just want to say, I love humanity. It's people I don't like. I just want to be clear.
Right.
I think it's certain people.
Okay.
Right.
It's just people I don't like. Our show.
As long as there was no people, humanity would be so much better off.
I agree. Exactly my point. Georgia Dow is the greatest. We're so glad to have you. iMore.com. Jason Calacanis from Inside.com. That's your current enterprise.
Current company,
Although it sounds like you got a lot of irons in the fire. You still do right?
I still do Launch Festival. Festival. 12,000 people this year,
What?
12,000 people were at it this year.
What? That's crazy.
Well, I don't have to make money from the conferences anymore, so I just give all the tickets away for free to founders.
Oh, that's nice. That's
so I gave away 11,000 tickets out of the 12,000. And it, you know, it costs like $1.5 million to do it.
Did you off the TechCrunch got all the attention on Silicon Valley, the show?
No, not really. I mean, Mike screwed me. Mike and I were partners in the conference, obviously. Yeah. He screwed me out of it. And then I went and started my own, and I got like a very toxic person out of my life, which was wow, this is
By the
great.
Way, Mike's going to be on the show next week, just in case you want to come. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
That would be an interesting show, though.
I'm joking. Yeah, you know.
Everyone will be tuning in.
No, and then on last week's, do you watch Silicon Valley? Or is it too
annoying
for you?
Yeah, I didn't see last week. No spoilers. No, I love it. I think
Kara and Walt are on it.
Listen, I think the show is great, except for the cameos. And by the reason I hate the cameos is because I haven't had one yet.
Yeah,
but when I finally get my cameo, exactly. Then I will absolutely endorse the
exactly.
show.
Exactly.
But for now,
they're at the Code conference waiting. And they're sitting in their red chairs. Interviewing.
No, they contacted me. It was
did they?
Yeah, yeah. They said.
Well, you know who's writing for them is Dan Lyons.
Dan Lyons, exactly. So I've had two people contact me from. They're like, "Hey, we want to sit down or whatever." So I'm sure I'll be on some season or whatever.
Fake Steve Jobs, who then
yep.
for 4 minutes
they nail it though.
Editor in chief at Valley Way.
Yeah, exactly. And talking about toxic.
I love Dan, though. In fact, we've been trying.
Dan's
to get
a pretty
him
good writer.
Show.
Yeah, he's a good writer,
and I'm very curious because it's clear that he's giving them a lot of inside stuff.
They nail it, and I think the only thing I wonder is like, are they nailing it too much, and it's too insider baseball that
kind
the
of
public
is.
Doesn't understand what they're talking
or care.
About. Like the whole valuation thing was
I
so accurate.
I thought that was great,
and yeah, it's so accurate and weird when they were negging and they were getting all the term sheets coming in higher and higher, and then everything went away. I mean, it reminds you of Secret, which we saw last week imploded, where like.
Right. They took too much money.
Pied Piper went crazy, and then it comes crashing down, and then it goes back up, and it crashes back down, and nobody knows.
All right, we're going to take a break. I actually want to talk about Secret. It's when we get Jason here, we got to kind of find out about the inside stories and all this stuff, because he knows all the dirt. Also, Harry McCracken from The Technologizer, who knows all, tells all at fastcompany.com.
Great writer.
And great writer. And Odakta.
Great speaker.
Living in my virtual world, I feel the spiders upon me. Yeah, I have less
it's like
fear
Cyclops.
Than I had 22 minutes ago. I am so happy to be here, Uncle Leo. Uncle
like
Jason's here. You let Uncle Jason
it's like
come
some
back.
Dystopian science fiction film.
Yeah, it's a Christmas party since he got drunk.
Oh, Doctor 2000.
One,
oh, Doctor 2000.
Love
that's
Uncle
it.
Jason.
I think this is a sequel to Blade Runner.
Faster and furiouser.
Jesus, kill me.
Now we know why Apple bought Beats.
Can we talk about Citrix GoTo meeting, an incredible product that I use?
An incredible daily. Product that we only advertise incredible products that Jason Calacanis uses.
I use it. I have two accounts. I love it.
What do you have two accounts for?
One for each company. One at launch, one at inside, because we use it. So I do about 10 GoTo meetings a week.
We do. I don't do that many, but we do them almost every day because it's a great way. And it's so easy because once you have the GoToMeeting account, you just click a button and the meeting is set up. And it's so often you just want a conference call, so it sets up an easy conference call. But then if you need to, you can share your screen. So if you've got a presentation or images or you just want to show them the picture of the first Tesla, you can show them that.
Yep.
And then if you want to turn on your cameras, suddenly, like you are meeting in person, you could see them in high def video.
Yep.
And you can meet on anything, a computer, a tablet, a smartphone. You can literally present from an iPad in your backyard. I've done it. It's awesome. So here's the deal. 30 days, absolutely free. You don't have to give them a credit card. They've made this as easy as possible because they know once you set it up, you'll have your first meeting going in minutes.
It's a no-brainer.
In fact, even if you didn't try it today, if on Monday or Tuesday you got a conference call or a meeting with somebody, just try it. GoToMeeting.com. It won't take you any time to set it up. And the nice thing is it won't take your conferee any time either. And that's nice because if you're doing a sales presentation, you don't want your client to have to jump through hoops to hear your pitch. Make it easy. Make it fun. Make it engaging. GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. 30 days free. You do not need to give them a credit card. There's no obligation. No salesman will call. GoToMeeting.com. Try it free.
You know what the best feature at GoToMeeting is now?
What?
Well, aside from the meeting starts on time, which is
nice
the reason
meeting.
I use it, is because like people are, it just works. You one click, you're in. But the really killer feature they have now is there's a Chrome extension that I use that puts it into your Google Calendar. So when I'm looking at my Google Calendar, I press one button,
it just sends
everybody the meeting stuff. So literally,
so
the friction between putting something in my calendar and then having the GoTo meeting set up is zero. I used to have my assistant set that up, send everybody the instructions.
So much easier.
You can Google GoTo meeting. Chrome extension. And it just works in your calendar. It's genius.
Harry, was there anything else at Build that you thought was important? Microsoft did. I mean, it was a developers conference. So they really, in fact, the first hour and a half of the keynote, they don't even say Windows at all, almost. It's like all about Visual Studio.
Azure and stuff.
Yeah, and cloud.
I mean, the other big news was that developers can take Android code and iOS code and give themselves a big head start on writing Windows applications.
My question is, who cares?
Well, I don't think that's not going to save Windows.
Windows Phone, it's not going
to
save.
Developers are going to want to write for Windows and Windows Phone because there's a critical mass of people.
There's a billion people. They want to get 1.5 billion people using it right away.
I think just in terms of reaching out to this community, this new generation of developers who don't have this background of the era when everybody did Windows.
Right.
I think it's helpful. It's sort of like
they need to reach out. But if I'm an iOS guy, am I going to say, "Oh, great, now I can write it for Windows"?
Well, you can get a little bit of a head start, I think, and that might have some value to it. I
mean, do we know how hard it would be to do the port?
According to Microsoft, it's super easy. And it's not just recompiling it and boom, it works, but it's something somewhat close to that. Although, of course, you wouldn't want to do that. You'd want to add Windows-specific functionality. Right. And I think when all is said and done, you'd want to write Windows apps using the kinds of tools designed to write good Windows apps. But
The applications they use it as an example, Candy Crush and Cut the Rope, too. There isn't a Windows UI. There's no menus.
For games, it's a little bit easier.
It's swiping, yeah. So of course it works fine, but I'd hate to see somebody...
If you're writing a productivity app, I think you want it to look like a Windows app. And even then, some of your existing code might be repurposed in a way that might be valuable.
It does feel like, though, Microsoft's making a pivot. And that instead of saying Windows everywhere...
Yeah.
Microsoft Office everywhere. They're saying we will let people use our apps on any platform.
Yeah.
The cloud is really the platform, not the desktop operating system.
Satya Nadella. He is doing everything right, as far as I'm concerned.
It seems like it.
And Azure, I'm seeing come up more and more often at startups are using it.
See, that's interesting because startups are so tied to the LAMP stack and Linux and open source.
And it just works with all that stuff. And they went into Y Combinator and gave everybody $500,000 worth of free credits.
That's smart.
That they could use at any point in time over 3 years.
That's smart.
Which is like, okay, if the startup decides in month 30 they want to be on Azure, they could spend it all from months 30 to 36. The other thing that's very interesting is the Outlook app on iPad is tremendous. It's the best email app on iOS.
Because they bought Microsoft.
They also bought Sunrise, which was the number one calendar app.
Yeah.
So what you're seeing is, you know, Ballmer and Gates were like, hey, not built here.
Right.
No good. Right. Now they're saying, hey, let's buy Calendar. Let's buy these other things. Let's be competitive. Let's put it on everything. And I can tell you the real secret that's going to come out in the next year or two, I think, is the embracing of the Android fork. So this company... Cyanogen, I think.
Yeah, Cyanogen.
Cyanogen, which a couple of friends of mine have invested in. I'm not an investor in. They are going to bundle all the Microsoft apps. Now, what I think is going to happen is at some point, Microsoft's going to put up the flag on Windows Mobile. And I think what they're going to do is buy Cyanogen. Or they're going to say, you know, we'll just incorporate Cyanogen somehow into the Microsoft suite of phones. And then then Android would work everywhere.
They
right?
have a great product with the Lumia phones.
Incredible
In fact,
product.
They have
Inductive
a great product.
Inductive charging before anybody.
I know.
3 years ago.
You could put it on a pillow. It would charge up overnight.
Unbelievable.
They also have, unfortunately, a very nice operating system, Windows Phone,
yep.
which isn't going anywhere.
No.
This is the Hail Mary right now. This is the last-ditch effort. We make iOS developers and Android developers comfortable moving.
Yep.
We're going to put a. They are giving away Windows 10 so that they can get a billion people using it. This is a Hail Mary play to save Windows Phone. It's not going to.
And it's a universal app. If you've written an app for a Windows PC, it will also work on a Windows tablet and a Windows Phone.
The Surface is an incredible product too. You think about that. You know, if Microsoft sticks with it, they get it right in version 3, 4, or 5 typically. So we all saw this story where WordPerfect was so much better than Microsoft, but Microsoft Word 4 or 5, you couldn't tell the difference.
Right.
Surface 3, great product. People who have it love it.
Yep.
And they sold a billion of them last quarter or something crazy.
Did they really? Wow.
Yeah. I mean, if they stick with something, they eventually get there. If you look at apps, the iOS app now, Outlook is fantastic. Word, I opened up Word for the first time in 5 years just because it was available. And I was like, wow, Word is pretty tight on an iPad.
It's a very different app on the iPad.
So is there going to be inside for Windows or Windows Phone?
It's interesting you say that. I think if they gave us some kind of a deal, like in bundling, we would definitely consider doing it. But not just yet, right? And so the desktop is really interesting. If you can... If you look at Slack and HipChat, they both made desktop clients because it's a great marketing tool. You can get all those Windows people, and there's not a lot of competition there. So I think you'll see it on the enterprise stuff first and then consumer second.
I want to step right up and say there will be a Twit app on Windows 10 because the guy who developed it, who works for Microsoft, who works in the tools division, Dmitry Lealin, was here on Friday after build, and he said, I am rewriting the Twit app in XAML. It's going to be a universal app, so it'll work on Windows 10, Windows Phone, and Xbox.
Wow.
And he's going to open source it.
Makes sense.
So we're thrilled. I mean, one of the things that we've been doing is we're in the midst of a website redesign. I've talked about this before, where Drupal, which has been running our website, will be headless. You won't be interacting with Drupal directly. It will be an API engine that will offer a fairly rich, much richer than RSS, API to our content. And Dimitri and Craig Mullaney, who's in the chat room, who wrote the iOS app, are already going to, in the API, looking at our API, they're going to write these apps to this API. Even our website will be a consumer of the API. It's going to be in Node.js, but consuming the API. And I think that this is what's happening, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're starting to see this move. So it's really what's great about the cloud is it doesn't care what OS you're using.
No.
It really does, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, Insight is built on an API as well. So whenever we fire up a new app, and we're going to make it public.
Makes it easy, doesn't it?
Yeah, so anybody will be able to just hit and say, give me the top 10 stories from drones from the last month, or tell me who the
That's
top 10 drones authors are.
And you want users coding. And
anybody can do it on any platform. Would you think they're going to, now they made .NET open source, which was a big, awesome move, I think, because it was kind of, there's so many people who use that in the enterprise. But is Windows 10 going to ever be open source? Have they gave any insight to that?
Like, Windows became implied that it might happen.
Right.
Mark Rusinovich,
he said something about
the Azure
that.
Guy, said, you wouldn't be surprised. I don't think that's ever going
to
happen.
But more likely to happen now than under Ballmer.
Aren't there there've got to be proprietary pieces in that code that Microsoft can't just open up, that they don't, you know, they license, that they're using.
Stuff they license.
Yeah, I have a feeling that that's just not legally
possible.
It's just not doable. Yeah. But I do think it's interesting that they're making .NET more widely available. Do you, as an investor, when you go come along and you look at a startup, if they're on Azure and .NET, is that a mark against them? You don't care.
No. I mean, really, the state of the art in terms of startups is you just pick one platform and do it perfectly.
Right.
So I've seen people start on Android, get it perfect, take a year, piss off all the iOS people, and then go to iOS.
Right.
I've seen many more people do iOS only. Piss off all the Android people, and then they get it right, and then they move over there.
Right.
Because what happens is if you try to build an app on three or four platforms at once,
you can't do it.
And because then every mistake you do, you've now magnified four times, you'll run out of money.
Right.
And so where people start is very interesting. It used to be you have to start on iOS. Then it became, hey, Android's got more people. Now it's kind of back to iOS first because those are the best early adopters.
I have to say one of Microsoft's challenges is to this day, usually when I meet with somebody who has a cool new mobile app, you know, if it can be done on iOS, iOS is almost first. Yeah. You ask about Android. Sometimes Android ships at the same time, but very often Android is a few months later.
Yeah.
And sometimes even Android is, well, you know, we're intrigued by the Android opportunity, blah, blah, blah. If it's tough to do Android, which has more users than anybody, it's really tough for Windows Phone, which is a very distant number three.
Here's the inside thing that's going on. Satya's been spending a lot of time here, so without going into too much
detail.
He
seems to like San Francisco.
He's coming down here a lot.
They've had numerous appearances.
And when he comes down,
who's he talking to?
He's been coming down and doing a lot of meetings with startups. So he'll come down, he'll meet with 10 startups in a day and go back.
Interesting.
And I think you'll see the center of gravity start to shift a little bit to
Seattle?
No, I think you're going
to
see
Seattle to here.
Yeah, so I think you're going to see a lot more activity in San Francisco.
Even I hear Jason Calacanis moved to San Francisco.
Exactly. No,
hard
but
to believe
there, you could see a lot of executives being based here, and a lot of different products being based here that maybe weren't based here.
I love the story, and I don't know whether it's true that they would acquire Cyanogen, and they'd be able to literally by doing so flip a switch and say, you know, all those Lumia phones. They're Android phones now, and they're the best cameras, they're the best hardware.
Or they're Cyanogen phones. You know, it's like...
Well, Cyanogen is Android, right? It's AOSP.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
But you don't have to... See, the thing is, when now you know, Google's so hypocritical, where they're like, oh, everything's got to be open, except for search, which we're going to make a black box to our own advantage, and the FTC and EU are going to get us on that. Then they're like, oh, no, but, you know, Android's, of course, totally open, until we get market
share.
And now we're going to make everything, you have to use search, you have to use Google Maps, you have to do the stuff. So Google's completely hypocritical, and now you have Microsoft who's losing.
Wouldn't it be amazing? We're the open company.
Exactly. Well,
wouldn't
you know what,
that be amazing?
You're closed when you're winning.
Right.
And when you're losing, you're open.
Ding, ding, ding. That's the bottom line.
I love that.
You know.
I love that.
Offense versus defense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Wow, I'm learning so much in this show. This is fantastic.
Good episode.
We don't have to talk about this story, but just gonna drop it in the show so somebody catches it later. They've made a stingray box that lets people know that they're being stingrayed. And I don't know if people know what stingrays are, but the government's flying little bots over your house and they're picking up all your cellular data. And now we got something you can detect with. That's all.
Which is a good thing because apparently now the source code for creating a stingray is so widely available that any idiot with a PC can make his own stingray. So the stingray poses as a cell tower and grabs your phone briefly just to see where you're doing, what you're up to. And then the problem is that you can't make any phone calls while the stingray's got you. So then they pass you back to the cell tower. Good. I'm glad to hear that.
If only we had Dvorak. Nah, you see, they've been taking everything. They're going to put it there, and they're going to get you. Yeah. See, it's the NSA. They've been doing it since 64.
Just
in fact, I was talking to Nixon.
Drop the bomb and ran out, so I didn't want to get into all that.
I want to know. I don't know if I want to know, Owen. I'm busy trying to make my tinfoil hat.
Yeah.
Right?
Assume everything is compromised.
That's basically it, right?
Assume everything's... I don't put anything in email that I would not want plastered on the cover of the New York Times. Everything is already compromised. You have already been compromised. Do not take naked pictures ever on your phone. It's compromised.
I got a whole naked picture system, actually. I'll email it to you.
Wait a minute.
So Owen.
Tell us about that.
So basically, if you want to...
No, wait, stop!
Oh, I can make sure nobody ever gets hacked again. I got a system. A system's foolproof.
What is
I'm just saying, you don't want to help people. Look, so instead of keeping it directly on your phone, you make a random email with Joe Bomb Jibbity on it. Okay. Yeah. Something, if somebody happens to find it, they're not going to think it's you or care.
Right.
You take the pictures, you send it to yourself. You need the pictures, you recall it to yourself. And then as far as you having a significant other or somebody important, you just like do something, make them do something so weird that if they ever went against you, you could blackmail them or they could lose their job with it. Like,
that's I think this is the new.
I read a Medium post about
this. This is the new prenup. This is the new prenup. Right. If we're going to be in a relationship, I need a highly compromising picture of you, and I'll give you a highly compromising picture
of me. Actually, you know, these scumbags who were doing this revenge porn stuff, that guy got 15 years.
Thank God.
So great that, like,
thank God.
You know, it's people forget. Like, they think, well, just because I'm doing this criminal activity on a digital platform,
they'll never
that it's not criminal, it doesn't matter. It's like, I can just make Silk Road. It's digital.
Well, it's worse. He would post the picture, and then he would blackmail
$5,000 to take it down.
You pay me, I won't put it up.
And he's going to jail for 15, 20 years. Thank God the justice system is working.
That's what he gets.
Thank God. And then, you know, they're making all these laws now. So if you actually do this to your ex, husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, you're going to go to jail. And you're going to get in a lot of trouble. And rightfully so, because these poor young kids are so naive that they're being incredibly terrible stories where some girl sends a, you know, one photo that's compromised and then they blackmail them into doing even more, horrible stuff. And, you know, then they say, oh, we're going to send this to your family over Facebook because we know who your family is and da-da-da. These people are all going to go to jail. And that's fantastic that these prosecutors are going after these people, in my mind.
Yeah, because it's a horrible thing. We're giving children these technologies and even adults. And really, you know, up until 24, your frontal lobes, the part of your brain that deals with, you know, consequences to actions, has not yet been formed. Everyone thinks it's funny and enjoyable. And once it's out there forever. And the damage that it does in people's lives is absolutely devastating.
These people are killing, these young kids are killing themselves over it.
This
poor gay kid in New York, right, in Jersey, wound up committing suicide over this. And it's like, people think it's this like huge joke. It's not. And your prefrontal lobe, you don't have any idea of long-term consequences. I mean, we also have those people take loans that can never...
College loans
at the
forever.
Same time that their frontal lobes are not developed.
That's more criminal.
It's pretty criminal,
too. As long as you're under 24, we'll lend you as much money as you want.
Yeah.
At a large
percentage.
By the
way, if you go bankrupt, those are the one set of loans that don't count towards your personal bankruptcy.
Nice. Very nice. Let's take a break. There's lots more to talk about, and I don't ever want this show to end, but I'm afraid we do have to end it at some point. Why are you looking at your watch? Are you anxious? No.
It's probably sending notifications.
What?
Sending notifications. Oh,
did you?
Uber's here.
You strike me as the kind of guy that pays $90 to watch a boxing match.
I didn't watch it. I just won't watch that. I here's the thing. I know that Floyd Mayweather is going to do the same thing every fight. He's going to go like this. He's going to throw three punches, win the round, and go like this. It's not worth watching. Mike Tyson, I'll pay $90 every time to watch him kill somebody in 30
seconds. Well, and now you can watch on Periscope or Meerkat
for free. Exactly.
So
you can steal it.
It was weird though, because it was kind of like horizontal. Like you go and see, like
they did the crime.
Just a person to say landscape.
It's a boring fight. The fact that this fighting exists too is like
the fact that you can get paid $180 million to take punches for 12 rounds blows my mind.
If somebody pays us $10 million, I think you and I should.
I would do it.
Yeah, I'll do it.
$10 million, I'll do it.
Somebody puts up $10 million, we're going 12 rounds.
I won't even wear a cup. We'll go right out there.
No cup, really.
No cup,
really. Whoa. I know where my first shot's going.
All right, that's $15 million. That's 15. All right,
let's talk about Squarespace.
I've had my children.
Talk about Squarespace. Squarespace. I use Squarespace for all the launch festival
you
site.
You use everything.
Well, no, I use Squarespace because it's the best product, has a great design, and then I don't have to hire technical people to use to update the website. So Launch Festival, the Launch
really
Scale Conference.
You really use Squarespace for all
that? 100% Squarespace.
Well, that's the best endorsement ever.
Here's why. When I'm like, hey, put up a page, I don't have to find a developer and pay them $400 to do it. And then Squarespace keeps releasing new features. Like they added commerce. I don't know if you know that. And they also added calendar. So we can do our calendar and we can do our commerce right on the site. So if you have, you don't have to put Magento or Shopify or any other software in it. It just automatically comes
to that. No, what are they using?
That.
They're using something really good.
No, it's built in.
It's their own commerce.
They built their own. It just works. It's amazing. It is a fantastic product, Squarespace. And it starts at only a couple of dollars a month. And if you use the promo code, oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
Whoop.
Promo code is TWIT.
$8 a month.
$8 a month, but you get 10% off when you use a promo code. But
it's responsive
design
too, by the way.
Yes.
So if you're using mobile or anything like that, it just works.
Looks gorgeous.
On iPad, phone, out of the gate. Gorgeous.
The best help ever, right from the offices in New York.
24.
Yep, 24/7. Email and chat. I'm glad you brought up the e-commerce because I think what they're doing is so great. Every Squarespace site, even the $8 a month site, has e-commerce. So if you want to do donations or... I mean, it's pretty incredible.
What's one of the great things about like a SaaS-based business like this is they keep making and adding features to it. When they add a feature, everybody who has the product gets it.
Yeah.
Right?
And isn't that sweet?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
We should make that clear. It's hosting. You're paying for it. It's a web host.
Yeah.
But you also use their software. So their software is always up to date. You know, I still, every day I get up in the morning and see, is there a patch for my WordPress site? It's an endless process.
That's the previous paradigm, right?
Yeah.
And it's just gone. Broken. Yeah.
Squarespace.com, use the offer code TWIT, 10% off your first purchase. Jason Calacanis, great to have you back. You are the best for our sponsors ever.
God. I mean, if you had Audible, this I would tell you.
What are you listening to?
I have this amazing book that I'm listening to, Season of the Witch by Dave Talbot. It's about the history of San Francisco.
Oh.
So, you know, Dave Talbot did Salon.
Yes.
Or Slate.
Yes.
One of the two.
I love Dave Talbot.
Season of the Witch, amazing.
Yeah, was he at the Examiner or the Chronicle? He was one of the...
Just a great person.
Man.
But you could save this
Season
for your next
Witch.
One. Season of the Witch.
I'm downloading
absolutely outstanding.
It right now.
And then Sam Harris has a great one called Waking Up. Amazing. Sam Harris, the guy who wrote Letter to a Christian Nation, and he's just amazing. But this book, Season of the Witch, and...
Now, when do you listen? Do you listen
to... I was listening to it on the drive up here.
I want to have a commute again.
Here's what it is. Whenever I'm driving, whenever I'm on an airplane, and whenever I'm working out, I listen to it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I try to go on the treadmill for, you know, whatever, an hour every other day, hour and a half, and that's what I listen to. Season of the Witch, amazing.
I just bought it. Well, I had 2 credits. See, I try to keep those credits.
I'm platinum.
They're precious.
You're platinum?
Of course I'm platinum.
Platinum.
That's 2 books a month.
$2 a month.
I listen to about half a book
a month. It's amazing.
I just finished the Steve Jobs book, Becoming Steve Jobs.
Oh,
wasn't
I didn't
that
get,
good?
I didn't go that one yet. I've got the original one.
Did you read it, Georgia? Mm.
I did read it. I did. I really liked it. I really enjoyed its perspective. I wish that instead of telling us the characteristics that he has, they just explained to us and allowed us to decide on our own. That would be my one quip in the book.
Well, that's because you're fabulous. A psychotherapist, and I know that that's the worst thing is this kind of amateur diagnosis stuff.
What's the best thing, Georgia, we can do to be more present in our lives? You have some tip for us addicted to phones and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think that the one thing that everyone should do is to try to be where you are right now instead of thinking about always going forward into the past or into the present. You want to be just where you are right now and make the most of those moments that you have. Because if you live in the past, you're dealing with regret. And if you're living in the future, you're dealing with anxiety and you're missing all the good stuff. Mm. Time slows down when you're in the here and now, just doing what you're doing now and trying to be the best and get the most out of it.
Ram Dass, baby, be here now.
That's
right?
Why I meditate. Yeah.
100% correct.
That's great.
Yeah.
All the entrepreneurs are doing that. It's a fad.
I tell you, it's a fad that I've been doing it for 3 or 4 years.
Brain.
This mindfulness really works
actually,
in terms of focus.
Yeah, and it's amazing for your brain. Yeah. Like, for your brain, if you meditate every day, they did studies. And these aren't studies at, like, some hokey,
UCLA.
Crystals kind of university. These are universities that are big. They did studies having people meditate for 20 minutes a day versus people that didn't. And they were 50 years old, and they, you know, tested them in a year. And their brains were tested for the people that meditated. They were tested as if they were 41 years old. So
can I watch TV
really
while I meditate,
help.
Or is that
no? That's the opposite of being present.
I'm getting behind on Game of Thrones. I need to.
You have to do Game of Thrones.
You know what
and
the
then
thing
meditate
about,
after.
This is the best advice I got in meditation, which was, you know, I was like, oh my God, it's so complicated, or whatever. And somebody who does it was like, you know, if you, it's like going in the ocean. If you dip your feet in the ocean, you actually experience the ocean.
Yeah. Even
just like a swimmer might, just right. like a scuba diver might.
Right.
So just going up to your knees in the ocean, that's actually experiencing the ocean. So if you do a 5-minute meditation, and there's a woman named Diana Winston from UCLA who runs the mindfulness and trains the meditators down there. And she has these two albums for free on iTunes and on her website, Diana Winston, UCLA, amazing and free.
You can do other types too. Passive relaxation, which is more active, and you can do things like guided imagery. But I don't do long meditations either. I do something really short, sweet.
Yeah, 12 minutes, 5 minutes, 20, and then I'm an investor in a company called Calm.com.
I'm going to do Call of Duty. Okay. Yeah. Calm.com. You put money in it? I think Calm.com is cool.
I put $400,000 into Calm.com. Nobody would invest in it. And now, I can't say exactly what the company's doing, but it's now gone to millions of years.
I paid for it. I got a year's subscription.
The company's worth five times what I when I invested in that, and it is taking over. Because if you think about
yoga. Look at it. It's so calm. I feel calm just
if you look at yoga,
website.
Like yoga was something you had to, it seemed like crazy that everybody would do yoga. Now you go to any hotel, they have yoga classes every day. And yoga has to be delivered in person, but you know, meditation can be delivered in your earbuds.
Do you have like a mantra? Do you do, what do you do?
No,
I do
the mindful stuff, because that mantra stuff, I think,
is
like a whole
different
category.
Padme home.
You don't need to do that. You just have to be in a quiet place. You're present, and what you're trying to do is calm your mind.
Do you close your eyes?
I do close my eyes, and I put my hands on
sit
my knees.
Sit on a little pillow?
And you can do it laying down or sitting, but you have to feel your body.
If I lay down, I'll fall asleep.
Can I just say that
sleep
I do meditation
good,
every day? It's called falling asleep. I usually do it for 20 to 40 minutes a night.
Serious.
You're exceptional about it.
UCLA studied naps, it would be the same thing.
Look, turn your phone off, turn the iPad off, turn the TV off, look at the ceiling or the back of your
eyes. That's probably why you have
and do what I do.
You got to get
off. Think about how beautiful you are as a person. And then think about the long run that you were supposed to take today. I didn't take it, but I think about it every night when I go to sleep. I think about the exercise I was going to do. And the next thing you know, I fall asleep peaceful as a mouse. And when I wake up,
you wake up, you have your hand in a bag of Cheetos.
My best tip for you is when I go to dinner with my friends now.
You don't have food in the bed at night.
That's a good advice, too. I like it.
At dinner, when I go to dinner with my friends now, we have a rule. Everybody puts their phone in the middle of the table. First person to touch their phone during dinner pays for dinner.
I love it.
And we'll put a stack of six of them there.
I bet it's hard.
Oh, my God. For the first half hour, it's hard. Then you get into our 90 minutes, and you're talking to your friends, and you're in the moment, and you're like, oh, my God, this is what life used to be like. We used to actually listen to each other.
And we were actually talking to each other.
Watch,
exactly.
But, you know, he's speaking.
I'm going to announce retirement from the internet today. I'm going home.
That's big news. That's
that
big news right there.
For how long, though? For how long, Leo?
A minute, two. I don't know. I don't think this is going to work for me.
See, that's my biggest pet peeve, though, is when we go out to eat or if people are around and they're on their phones.
Oh,
I love
that.
Technology.
I want to punch them.
But that I can't stand. No. I bug Renee about it every single time we go out. I watch them and I'm like, really? You have to do that now?
Oh, it's neurotic. Yeah. It's something. It's the same thing.
Another great tip.
It's introversion.
When I take my daughter for a brunch or a breakfast or something, I'll leave the phone at home. I'll tell my wife where I'm going. I'm going to go here for breakfast, and then I'll come back and I leave the devices at home. I know that's a very hard thing. But Leo, trust me. Take your wife to dinner and leave
Take
your phone home.
Breath.
She will love you. You'll get lucky. Trust
no,
me.
Wait, Leo.
If you leave your phone at home, I told my wife, I'm like, I'm leaving my phone at home. I just want to just totally listen to you. She's like,
Uncle
I
Leo,
love you.
Really
I was
easy.
Like, you love me again? Really? I should have left my phone at home a long time ago.
Listen, Leo, your phone are people. You hate people. So disconnect from those people.
It's a fair point. He got you.
Doctor
got you.
Cut off all
you got
the
you.
People that you don't like and leave your phone home. I'll take a purge from the internet once a month because it don't
actually,
do nothing.
I'm breaking into a sweat. I am actually sweating.
If you're that anxious for leaving your phone at home, you have a problem. Hi, I'm Leo Laporte, and I am addicted to the internet.
Oh, I have such a problem.
When I come out there, I'm kidnapping all your devices.
Hey, we got some good news. This just got handed to me. Neil Young will be joining us on Triangulation tomorrow.
So brilliant.
As you know, I'm a Pono player owner. Kickstarted it. I'm a fan. I think high-res music is very interesting. And, of course, Neil Young is one of the greats of all time.
God. He's a god.
I'm flipping my lids. It'll be via Skype, so don't run into the studio. But we will be talking to Neil Young tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. They actually said, is that okay? Yes.
I've been a miner for a heart of gold.
Don't we have to pay royalties if y'all keep saying
a man needs a maid? That's all I can say. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, if you missed, this was a very important week at TWiT because we launched a new show, a show we've never done before. In fact, I think, Jason, it's the first TV show we've ever done on TWiT in that set. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like a TV show.
These are all radio shows with pictures?
Yeah. This is a legitimate TV show.
Here's what you missed if you missed anything this week on Twit.
Previously on Twit.
Live from the Twit Brick House in beautiful downtown Petaluma, it's the new Screensavers.
Welcome to the new Screensavers. I'm Leo Laporte.
And I'm Patty Dorton.
My old pal. You know, it's Twit's first nice TV show.
It's hard to hug over the NetCam network, but, you know, it's a little off.
Before you buy.
Samsung Galaxy S6 is a phenomenal phone, and it's one of my favorites of the year right now. And without a doubt, this is the best camera that I've used on an Android device.
Windows Weekly.
I am very excited about HoloLens.
You know, I put it over my head, and I took it off. I said, that is not what it looked like in January. All you can see is this little thing in front of you. So the video is following you over here. You can't see it. I mean...
Gizwiz.
What do you think was the most dangerous thing... you ever did on the show?
Do you remember the skates, the orbit skates?
Avoid steep inclines and don't ride too fast.
I would also avoid flat surfaces. This is like skating where the wheels are going fast.
Twit, like Tech TV, only better.
Sorry, I was about to say something foul and unprintable on camera.
It's okay. It's not a TV show. It's just a podcast.
Nonetheless, there's a certain family-friendly expectation here.
That's our story, and we're sticking to it. Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Leo Laporte.
What a fun week we had. And, of course, the new Screensavers is back every Saturday, 2 p.m. Pacific. I'm sorry, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2100 UTC. You can watch live, but we'll get it on the feeds pretty quickly after that. It was a little slow this first time because we wanted to make it just right. If you want to subscribe, twit.tv/TNSS. Groove Shark shut down.
And they had to apologize.
Oh, that was so embarrassing.
They were like, you're going to shut down, and then you're going to apologize, and then we're going to cut your head off.
It was the music industry's
response.
This is
why I don't invest in music companies, ever.
And they told you to go off and pay for your music from some other service?
How did they survive for 8 years was kind of the thing I wondered.
Investment money, I guess. They probably had some VC money.
So they were, Groove Shark allowed you to listen to streaming music that you didn't own, but they did not pay any royalties to the music industry.
It was YouTube. It was, you could upload songs and share them, just like SoundCloud can, but they didn't have content ID like YouTube did to like automatically take stuff down and claim stuff. So
they were served in 2011 with a $17 billion lawsuit.
That's how the music industry does it. $250,000 per infringement.
Wow.
It adds up quick.
Wow. So the apology that they were required to publish said that was wrong. We apologize without reservation.
They said our hearts were in the right place, but we did many bad things.
Groove Shark has agreed to wipe clean all of the record company's copyright works, hand over ownership of their website, their mobile apps, their intellectual property, including our patents and copyrights.
So everything they work for, like, they're like, not only do we have to apologize and shut down, we have to give you everything we made.
Wow.
This is why the music industry is.
But who
are
they giving
some vindictive.
It to? Who gets it?
Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
No?
They're just so vindictive. I mean, it's like they.
But you could have seen this coming, though. Of course. I can't believe. I was surprised the day Groove Shark launched.
Pandora's like hanging on by a thread. You know?
Really?
Well, because they pay royalties, but then they only give them like a 4 year. I think they give them 4 years and they've been paying half. They've been paying like a half deal,
right?
And now that's going to end. And when it doubles, then they'll be underwater again.
But Tim Westergren's point is, look, radio stations aren't paying as much as you're asking us to pay.
Right.
How are we different? Isn't this the radio station of the 21st century? Isn't this how you people discover music? This
next
is good
button
for the industry.
Yeah, the fact that you can switch and hit the next button, I guess.
But you can only do it a couple of times. Anyway.
Yeah. It's all, you know, the music industry has moved so slow.
Can they push too hard? Can the music industry push so hard that they really chase away their audience and that people just say, screw you, I'm not buying
any... Where else are you going to get music from? People that don't make music? I mean...
Well, no, musicians instead of labels.
Well, yeah, I mean, YouTube has been the ultimate hack. Kids are listening to music on YouTube largely.
My kids, that's all they listen to.
Yeah,
I listen to music on YouTube.
Yeah, so that, I mean, if you go to YouTube and you type in Bob Dylan or Neil Young, you can listen to a lot of great songs and you
have
to listen
about
to commercials.
That. He may not be too happy about that. Secret is going away, the anonymous social app. This isn't much of a surprise either.
Secret.
All of these, you must have, Georgia, seen.
Well,
Georgia,
what do you think of that with the, in terms of people?
Anonymous posting was just.
Is there value to that existing in the world in any way?
I, Yeah, I don't really. I'm not really into it. I never like. That's what I do. Like. I get paid to do that. I don't want. That's not fun for
you.
Me
hear to other you hear people's secrets all the time at work.
Right. It's not really fun to listen to people's traumas, and I know they're in my circle group. And yeah. Like, is it real? Is it not? I don't need that stress. No. So I don't find any value to it. If people, there are some people I'm sure that feel great, like, you know, saying whatever hurt and wounds they have to others, and the salacious value of like being on a Maury show without actually being on a Maury show. But it does not bother me at all, like going away. I don't know.
I read it I installed it and read it for a while and felt bad about it and deleted it.
Yeah.
But, and I think really the real reason it went out of business wasn't because it was bad for the world, but because it was just Silicon Valley posting about other Silicon Valley. Yeah. It was people's, it was not something. Now, what about Yik Yak or these college focused apps? These aren't going under. These aren't going away.
Secret did this weird redesign where it basically dumped everything that was interesting about Secret and became Yik Yak.
Yeah, they pivoted to Yik Yak.
And after that, it was, at least when I checked in every few weeks, it was
ghost town. Secret was interesting when it was a website and coffee table books. But when you put it in an app and your real situation in a circle of people, then you start feeling weird about it. Yeah. You start feeling a certain way, and it's too close to home. Then you got people trying to think about, well, who is this person? Ooh, is it? I should help this person. You get feel guilt in your heart. You're like, okay, well, this person's somewhere in my vicinity, and they're talking about doing this to themselves. I need to help them. That's a stressful
The intent,
point.
The intent really matters when you build these startups, and I think their intent was to make a bunch of money.
They took a lot of money off the table.
And
didn't
that was the really weird thing is I remember
they
when
took
this was
$6 million off the table.
I passed on investing. Obviously, I didn't want to be associated with it. But they, some of my friends invested. These guys took $3 million each off the table, and it was, from my understanding, a requirement to invest in it was for them to be able to take this $3 million each.
This is not unusual. Founders will sometimes say, "Look, I want to get something for my efforts, so I'm going to take some of the investment."
In year four or five, Leo. If a founder in year four or five gets an offer for $100 million from Facebook, the venture capitalists or angels might say, "Hey, we'll buy some shares for you so you can buy your house and you have idiot insurance against it going to zero."
Right.
And so that's reasonable if you've built a $100 million business.
Right.
Sure, we'll buy $2 or $3 million of shares from you and then we get the upside from here. The problem is these guys did it in their A round when the product wasn't proven at all as the price of admission. It set off all kinds of red flags.
Yeah, but they're smart, right? I mean, they got $6 million.
Well, I mean,
bucks.
There also might be hucksters and fraudsters. And, you know, so it kind of felt like none of the employees got to do it. Only the two founders got to do it.
In fact, they didn't even tell the employees.
Yeah, the employees read about it.
On Secret!
It was really, really done in a – it set a horrible precedent. But, you know, I'm an investor in a company called Whisper, which is sort of the good version of this, which is Whisper didn't take your address book and say, hey, let's spread rumors amongst your address book. It just said, tell me something about yourself that you want the world to know, and we'll share it by location if you choose to do that, all opt-in. So people who maybe were in the closet or maybe had anxiety about something going on in their lives could use it as a way to share it. Then people would write comments of support, and you could start discussions with them, right? And so Whisper has this, much like Post Secret, which I think is a lot of the inspiration for these services. It was a way for people, I guess, and I'm interested in George's position on this, but a way to like sort of release that energy and share it with people and maybe have and maybe be heard, just like therapy can in a safe way. But Secret was designed, take your address book, and we're all going to talk SH about our friends, and boy, was it nasty.
It was
there.
Nasty. It was really
they
nasty.
Claimed they were
have
doing
to
that
worry
to be
all
ennobling.
The time when someone's acting strange to you, you're like, you know, they're like, are you sure you're okay? You want to take that other glass of wine? And you're like, why are they doing that? And like, probably it was just someone else's secret that caused them some stress.
But they thought it was you. Yeah.
I had some people say some stuff about me on it. And
it is. Yeah. You start putting it on other people. And that's a whole problem inside of itself.
Yeah, I had people say some stuff about it. You know, I'm a public figure. So I just immediately wrote comments and I said, this is Jason Calacanis. If you have a problem with me, I'm sure I could have pissed you off something I wrote or something I did. I'm not a perfect human being. Far from it. Why don't you email me? We'll have a cup of coffee. I don't really want to have any of these things like out there. Mm-hmm. I'd rather just resolve them and move on. Life is short. You know, I lost a good friend of mine, Dave Goldberg, this past week.
Hey, let's talk about that. In fact, we will wrap up with that. That is a shocker. 47 years old. The husband of Sheryl Sandberg. I mean, they have like two small children, I think 11 and nine. He was CEO of SurveyMonkey, but also
doing tremendous. He had done Launch.com, sold it to Yahoo, and was an angel investor. It was one of my dear friends. And
shocking.
I just spent the day yesterday in shock. I was
very young, very sad.
He was the guy who was the nicest guy at our poker game, and he was the guy
You really knew him.
It was a match. Yeah. I mean, I literally play poker with him on Wednesday night, and we have a tradition in the poker game we play, and you draw for seats. And as fate would have it, he drew the seat next to me, and we sat there all night and laughed. Like we had 100, 200 other times we played cards together. And, you know, it's just like if you made a list of all the guys in the poker game, you know, you get older in your life. And one of the things for the people who are young in the audience, like you deal with a lot of people in your life maybe you don't want to deal with. As you get older, you get the choice to pick who you want to hang out with. And, you know, the good people gravitate towards each other and you hang out. And amongst that good group of people who play cards every week for the last decade or so, he was like the best guy. Mm. He was the guy who was the best dad, best husband, best leader. And in fact, he designed SurveyMonkey. I remember talking to him about this. He said, you know, Jason, I'm designing SurveyMonkey as the place you can go and still have a life and have kids. And that's my pitch to people who come work for me is come here and have a life. And he would just, you know, he's the kind of guy who would just talk to you for hours about you. And you'd finally, I have to say to him, like, what's going on at SurveyMonkey and how can I help you? And, you know, we went on a trip 2 weeks ago. A bunch of us went to Monsanto because one of our friends' company got bought by it, and we played cards the whole way there, and we learned about GMO foods, and just the most generous, amazing person. And I wrote about him this past week, and Rob Goldberg, his brother, is a good friend of mine.
You know what's interesting is how Facebook became the place where people gathered to talk
sure.
about this
yeah.
and write about this. And if for all the horrible things about Facebook and all the bad things I've said about it, it has turned out that in a couple of events, the Nepal earthquake, where their safety check page has been so valuable, and now this is the value of a social network.
Yeah, no, I mean a lot of people are coming out with remembrances, and you know, I just
very powerful
to his family, and you know, everybody is. It's my heart goes out to them, and it really makes you like really evaluate life and think about you know being a better person. You know, and he was. You know, when you talk about the word mensch, you know, in Yiddish, like a really good person who helps other people, this was the uber mensch, the mensch of mensches. Like, he literally was the guy we all wanted to be a little bit more like. And so to Cheryl and the family, like, our hearts go out to you. And I'm going to miss you, Goldie. That's what his nickname was, Goldie. And so it's really, really just tragic to die at that age, so young. And he's a really beautiful person. I'm going to miss him terribly.
I'm really glad you could be here to share your tribute to him. Thank you. And I thank you all for being here. I think that's a note we probably want to wrap up on. Georgia, wow, it's great to have you. Would you come back, please?
I would love to.
iMore.com, at Georgia_DOW, if you want to follow her on Twitter. Anything else you want to tell people about? Plug?
No, I don't have anything to plug. I'm just so happy to be here, so thanks.
Come back. You were a great addition. Thank you. To the show.
Nice to have a psychologist here.
Yeah. Somebody can explain all this stuff. I don't know.
Give us some advice. What do we do?
Wreck. I'm going to go home and meditate
on
Game of Thrones.
You guys need private sessions. You two in the middle. That'll need private. I'm crazy, but I know I'm crazy. I know what's wrong with me. You need to like come back and loop it around. I mean, Uncle Jason, Uncle Leo, the family feud's finally over. I mean, Lord help us.
A lot of people are relieved. A lot of people are relieved. People are like so broken up about it. They're like, God, you guys did the best radio together.
It's more than that. I really like you, and I always liked you. I always thought you were the greatest guy, and I apologize for being so small and petty.
I could have done better myself.
No, I don't think it's your fault.
I'm sorry, you son of a bitch.
I'm sorry.
I love that guy.
Owen J.J. Stone, thank you so much. What do you want to plug? Your New Jersey mailbox? Anything?
I want to plug my daughter's college fund, which has turned into my Tesla fund. I'm halfway there, so if anybody would like to contribute to the Tesla, I promise that once I get said Tesla, I'll work back on the college fund. I mean, there are certain things I need to do in my lifestyle, and getting that S is in my future. I love you, Uncle Leo. I love you, Uncle Jason.
I love you, JJ.
I love the chat room. The chat room, y'all are the best people in the world. They don't be knowing what's going on there. I'll be talking to y'all. Y'all be talking to me. It's great. And if he wants to charge us $1 a year, Uncle Jason's going front at least like $1,000.
No. First month free on me.
That's what I'm saying. Take care of business.
Yeah.
All right.
Harry McCracken is wondering, what the hell am I doing here? The Technologizer, fastcompany.com. Always a pleasure. Great to have you here. Thank you for spending a little time with us, all of you. We do this show every Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 2200 UTC. We'd love it if you could join us live because despite appearances, I actually like the chat room too. It's full of people, though. That's...
Oh, those people. There it is again. Seth Soylent.
Oh, no, get...
The chatter room is made of people. It's people.
Start your deep breathing.
We also make on-demand audio and video available after the fact. Twit.tv is the website. All our shows are there, including the new screensavers, Twit, everything else. And wherever you get your podcasts, and that includes iTunes, of course. But most people, I think, nowadays use the podcast app on their mobile device. That's fine with me. Don't forget, we do have Twit apps. Written by members of the community, not by us, on iOS, on Android, on Windows Phone, and on Roku. So
is
please.
Is TwitPad an official app or no?
Nothing's official.
Okay.
But
like
there are.
TwitPad.
TwitPad's great. There's, you know what? In each platform, there's actually several choices.
I mean, look at this. I mean, somebody did that for free.
Well, yeah.
They just did it because they're super fans.
I think some people are charging.
Wow,
there's some ads in some of them, but I don't think they make a lot of money.
The love.
The love. I feel the love in this room.
TwitPad is amazing.
Is amazing. I'm going to go sing You'll Never Walk Alone. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Another Twit is in the can. Bye-bye, everybody.
All the time. Doing the Twit. All right. Doing the Twit, baby. Doing the Twit. All right.
I'm really glad that Goldie, that you could
talk
pay
about
tribute
Goldie
to Goldie.
And,
I think that... That's fantastic, because I didn't know him. But
I didn't either, but I've been moved just reading about him.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Like, you know, we live in a world, like, in this industry of, like, narcissistic, you know, champions of the world, and, you know, it's all about the singular person, whether it's Elon or, you know, Satya or Bill Gates or whoever it is, or, you know, and, you know, there's some people who just go about it in a quiet, you know, way, and he was that guy who just went about it in a quiet way and was a mensch, you know, and like we could all take a lesson.
Wow.
You know, everybody take a note, like bigger ears.
They were overseas when it happened?
Yeah, that was, he was in Mexico, yeah.
Jeez.
So it was just terrible. And, you know, it's
the best part about hearing you talk about a friend like that is it makes you think about yourself and think, like, man, should I be doing better? I could be doing better. I was telling you about how that Elon Musk changed my world earlier this week.
Yeah.
You talking about somebody that you care about makes me think about the things that I do well and the things I should do better. And I got to go hug my kid this week extra, you know.
That was my yesterday. It was like,
my kid. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
You know, people
exactly.
Say to me, like, oh, why don't you live in New York or San Francisco? Oh, and you should be. And I'm like, I can't leave my kid. I want to spend time with my kid. Like, that's what matters to me. And I hope that one day somebody thinks
precious.
That I did a good job. And with like the way you talked about him, that's great. It makes somebody who doesn't even know the guy feel for you and feel for that guy and his family. So. It's rough.
It's life is very perplexing, you know. We got to have the Padre on, but you know, it's very perplexing when the best person you know goes first.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I've been just personally struggling with over the last 48 hours. It's just like
why?
Well, it's just like, you know what? If I was talking to another friend who we play cards with, David Sachs, and we were just lamenting how, like, God, if you took this list of, like, the great guys, we'd all put him number one.
Wow.
And we would be, like, I told David, I was like, you and I would be, like, number 7, 8, and 9 on the list. Like, we the bottom. It's like, we should go first. Like, we miss less. Like, why does the guy who's the best go first? It doesn't make any sense. And then you think, oh, gosh, the poor kids are going to have to grow up hearing these stories about how great their dad was. And, you know, there's something horrible and tragic, obviously, but then it's also something great that his legacy, I think, is being captured. Like you said, even the Facebook page was very powerful. I've spent at least an hour a day reading stuff on the Facebook page, or 2 hours
that's
a day, maybe.
That's a phenomenal thing that exists. That's a really great thing to have.
Yeah.
And his kids can read this 20 years from now or 10 years from now.
I think it's going to be it's going to be a mitzvah for them to be able to see, like, gosh, my dad was this special.
Mm-hmm. He was something.
He was something. And tremendous, tremendous guy. It's just hard to comprehend when I think, you know, you think about the unfairness of death, right? And it's just something that I don't know any of us will ever be able to comprehend. And after 9/11, I had this like very like existential crisis being a New Yorker and having been there of like, why did these people die?
Right.
And how is it fair that these people die? And what does it mean, you know? And you don't ever get over it,
right.
But I think you can change the way you live, and you can change the way you treat the people around you, you know? And a lot of you people know me because I'm a public person. I haven't always been the best person. I haven't always been nice to people in my writing. I've been kind of a little bit of a brawler in my life. And, you know, it's like I've been reassessing that over the last couple of years and trying to be a better person and better to other people, right?
Yeah. What will be your legacy?
Yeah.
I also
that's the one lesson that you can take from that is that, like, like our time is really precious here and relatively fleeting, and you don't know what cards you're going to be dealt. You can only say, how am I going to deal with the cards that I get? And it's a really hard thing to deal with. Our culture does not deal exceptionally well with death. We don't have really great means of helping people through it. So, you know, it's nice. Facebook and memorializing and talking about it is really helpful for everyone.
And Annie Lamott wrote a book, All New People. She said, 100 years, it's all new people, right?
Yeah.
And what that really reminded me is that, of course, some of us go sooner than others. We're all going sooner than later,
right.
Really.
Yeah.
But what we have that's remarkable is we are all alive together in this space. You know, but that this was our cohort.
Right.
Of the people we got to share the planet with. And it includes people like him, like Goldie, like Steve Jobs, the people we know around us. And some of us are going to go sooner than others, but really we're all in this cohort that this is our group. In 100 years, we're all going to be gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all going to be gone.
What do you leave on this earth?
Yeah, yeah, celebrate this cohort.
We overlap with some great people.
We have lived.
We overlap with older folks, and they'll overlap with people who aren't born yet.
Yep. But we've lived with some amazing people in our group, in our cohort.
We've lived in an amazing time.
This is an amazing, amazing time.
It's like it was the Lord of the Rings, where Gandalf says, "Like all you have to decide is like what to do with the time you're given." I don't. Yeah. I'm butchering the quote, but it always stuck with me. Like, we have this time, we have to decide what we do with it, right? And it's it is kind of freeing in a way. You have a limited amount of time, and choose to do with it what you will. But just know that it's limited. You know, as we have this really deep conversation with my wife, and I was like, you know, what's all this success and all this? Like, I lucked into so many different things in my life, and what am I going to do with these last 10, 20 years or months
weeks.
Or weeks or days? Like, holy shit. Like, I got to really start to think
it's
about
it. It's not long no matter what. Even if it's 40, 50 years, it ain't long.
It just goes by.
It goes by really quickly.
The coolest thing that I ever learned was when I did therapy at a very expensive old folks home. So I was dealing with the movers and shakers of the world, people that were multi-billionaires that ran huge companies. And the one thing I took from it is that they were on the last part of their life and they didn't talk about their companies or how much stuff they had or how successful they were. All they said is, I wish I could spend it with those that I love for a little longer.
It's interesting. Like, people are like, "Oh God, you spend all this time playing cards," you know? And I'm like, "Yeah, I play cards once
a
week."
It's a social.
And I'm like, you know what? I see my friends every week.
It's a social thing.
I check in with my friends every week, and we spend
You know,
eight, nine hours playing a game and laughing our asses off.
It's great.
You know, and that was like,
it's not about the money, the cards. It's not it at all.
No, it was just always that.
It's about the cigars.
Last note that I'm getting out of here.
Yes.
Are you waving a carrot at me?
What is he waving?
I wish it was a carrot. It should be a carrot. I need more carrots than
What's up, Dad?
Listen. You know, Uncle Jay's is talking about, you know, not being such a great guy and all that kind of stuff sometimes and trying to be better. You know, I met Jason a long time ago, and I met him at a couple events and never really talked to him, just in passing, hello, whatever. You know, I'm down here, he's up here. And one day I go and get on a flight, and they're like, "Oh, do you want to upgrade to first class? It's $25. I said, "Sure." I sit down, Jason sits down next to me, and he's like, "Oh, doctor." And I'm like, "Oh, shoot, Jason remembers my name." Like, "Hey, what's up?"
That's
talk to him
cool.
20 minutes. He tweets out my website. He shuts my website down.
Yeah.
He says, "Oh," he's like, "I see you do these interviews with people, blah, blah. I come by the studio sometime." And sure enough, he answered my email. I came by the studio. I have my little crappy equipment. He's like, "Don't worry about it. I'll videotape everything. I format it. I'll send it over to you."
Oh,
had a nice afternoon with the guy. He let me get stuck in his Tesla. And, you know, I've seen him once or twice before after that. But, you know, in my mind, I defend Jason all the time, because when people say, "Oh, Jason's this and that," I'm like, you don't know him. You see someone on the internet and you think that you know somebody, and maybe he had a problem with this person or this person didn't like him. You don't know him. And again, for somebody like me, I'm not important, quote unquote. I'm not special. He took the time out to talk to me, and I'm a regular dude. So you don't know somebody until you get to know them. And just being online and reading a tweet does not make you an aficionado on anybody. So I've always loved you, Uncle Jason, just like I love Uncle Leo. Yes, you're a hard-headed person. Uncle Leo's hard-headed. But I'm just saying, when family comes together,
this is the deepest panel we have ever had. You guys are full of heart.
I'm not a real
great.